If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Push on, black man, push on.
What's going on in white America, U.S. of KKK?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man.
Oh, my God. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right?
Yeah, shut up, dude.
So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right?
Shut up.
Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's gonna be okay, all right?
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's gonna go out smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I gotta go. Later.
Shut up, gay guy.
And now.
Wow, that was hard to listen to.
Our feature presentation.
That is a terrible way to start the
Come
day
on.
Listening to Omar, isn't it? From Cucamonga Heat.
I'm nominating him for a Golden Globe this year. Because that's how good his performance was.
That is one of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life, by the way. You got to see the movie. We do have a link to it from krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section. But some of Omar's early college work in Cucamonga Heat. It's good times right there. It's Tuesday morning, folks, the 25th of March. March. How you doing, Argar?
I'll be glad when March is over.
Me too.
Because you're March chicka bam bam.
I struggle. Well, Kevin's good at it, and he's not here, but he'll be back tomorrow, so
yeah.
We'll return to our glory days.
Yeah, but you don't try. That's the problem. Not that you're not good at it, you just don't try.
I do not possess that
As
skill.
They said about you in elementary school, I'm sure they sent many notes home to your parents. Bean just does not apply himself. That's the problem. Just got a
See, you got a guitar.
Just imagine you're a guitar.
Know,
be the guitar, Bean. Be the guitar.
I just don't have that skill set. I'm sorry, Ralph.
All right.
Lisa's on vacation this week. Let's say hello to the beautiful Gianna Suter who joins us this morning. Good morning,
God.
Gianna.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How have you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I know we don't talk much, but I want you to know we do miss you when we don't have you on the show.
Oh, well, that's very nice. Thank you.
What have you been up to since the last time we had you?
You know, trying to pay the rent.
You making any movies? Doing any acting? Doing any producing?
Commercials here and there, a couple of print jobs. Just, you know, the L.A. thing. It's good.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But I hear it's really easy to be a model and an actress in Southern California. Like, the jobs just fall out of the sky. You practically can't get out of your car without somebody coming up and offering you work.
Oh, yeah.
And by print jobs, you mean anything in the Larry Flint publishing realm?
No, anything
we can look forward to from perhaps the Hefner organization?
No, not quite yet.
Maxim, at least?
Yeah, no, not ready to take the clothes off yet.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't wait too long, Gianna. I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, nice, Bean. Way to welcome our guests.
Well, what I'm saying is you can't wait forever to make that choice.
Yeah, the clock's ticking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In fact, go ahead and take those pictures today, and then you can decide what to do with them in 10 years if you need to.
Well, there you go. That's true.
But get them while they're good is what I'm saying.
Nothing can ever go wrong, by the way, of taking nude pictures and having them hanging around the house.
Oh, yeah, nothing.
They never get out on the internet or get exposed by an angry ex-boyfriend or stuff like that.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And just to be on the safe side, you ought to videotape yourself having sex just in case you ever need a record of it somewhere.
You know, I haven't thought of that.
And leave it around when the construction guys are working on your house so they can just put it in their pocket and
exactly.
End up on YouTube.
Ralph, I thought about you this morning when I got up at 3 a.m.
to watch the
kickoff of the 2008 Major League Baseball season, which began this morning.
Why did you think of me?
3 a.m.
Why did you think of me when that happened?
Because I was thinking how little you could understand my desire to do that and how excited I was by it.
Why is it starting at 3 a.m.? Are they playing overseas or something?
Yes, playing in Japan.
I see.
Hey. The Boston Red Sox play in the Oakland A's, and right now it is 4-3 in the seventh. It's officially underway.
Don't care.
The best time of the year, best day of the year.
Don't care.
Major League Baseball has returned.
Don't care. Why don't they leave it there? Now it's in Japan. Why don't they just leave it there? All of baseball can just stay in Japan. Because I know the Japanese love them some baseball.
They sure do. They're more rabid than America is.
That's what I'm saying. Let them keep it. They've earned it, I think. Let them have it over there, and we can get on with our lives here. We can start football early.
This Saturday, of course, the largest crowd to ever see a baseball game in history is going to be at the L.A. Coliseum as the Dodgers and the Red Sox play in a preseason game on Saturday.
Wow! Don't care.
100,000 people bought tickets for that game, Ralph.
It's unbelievable how much I don't care. Stunning, my lack of curiosity.
I just thought, this is the time.
I dig. I get your passion. I feel your enthusiasm. What I'm saying is, maybe you would be better served calling into some local Seattle sports radio station and boring them with your BS.
But this is the year maybe you ought to re-examine. Maybe this is one of those things, like some food you tried as a kid and didn't like and never tried again. And now maybe your taste buds have matured. And now maybe you'd try it and it would be tasty. Maybe this is the year you go, I haven't given baseball a shot in a while. New season, a lot of excitement in town, especially with Joe Torre managing the Dodgers. I'm going to give it a whirl.
Joe Torre, he used to be a catcher, didn't he? Wasn't he a cowardly catcher? Wasn't he known as Chicken Catcher Torre?
Dude.
See?
That's what I'm talking
about.
Not funny.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what baseball brings you, those kind of comic opportunities.
I can't laugh. Suggesting. I'm still thinking about Bean calling into a local Seattle radio show talking about baseball.
He should host one. He should host Baseball Today on Cairo and just leave us all alone.
meet in the ice pick. This is Bean. I want to talk about the Mariners.
What was their batting order?
I
like numbers.
Meat and the Ice Pick, Mike. That's the show.
Oh, I love them.
They're
great.
Good. They're
over
good
there on the Cairo,
holding
Come
it
on.
Down in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lisa's on vacation this week. If you got your own batting order of the Kevin and Bean show, and you're wondering where the hell everybody is, eventually Kevin and I will be doing the show at the same time.
No.
I think that's going to be tomorrow. I think we're going to try something new. We're both going to be here. Lisa's on vacation this week. We do have an enormous program planned for you, including an attempt at a Guinness World Record on the show today. Now, I didn't see the original story about the guy who set the Peeps record.
Yeah, this isn't a Guinness record.
It's not.
No, this is a separate challenge, an annual challenge I have called the Great Peep Off.
Okay.
Peeps.
It is, exactly. It is. It's your favorite Easter candy, the marshmallow peep. Which we decided before we left for the Easter weekend is possibly the worst candy in the world.
Yeah. Ever.
It is. They're just craptastic, those little marshmallow peeps.
Candy corn and peeps.
Candy corn and peeps are vying for one and two.
I'm not a Peeps fan, but they really do taste mostly just like chemical and cardboard. I mean, that's essentially what they are, right?
It's like eating those packing peanuts, those styrofoam packing peanuts,
right?
Dipped in some sort of vaguely sugary glaze, and that's pretty much what they taste like. But there is an annual event called the Great Peep Off Challenge, where they have a half an hour, and the contestants see how many peeps they can ingest within 30 minutes.
Oh,
and the record so far is 103 peeps eaten in a half an hour. And our own intern Beer Mug said in his normal drunken way,
I can beat that. I don't need more peeps than that.
Guys, sometimes you'll see a record, Guinness or otherwise, and you'll think, well, that's just crazy. I can't believe somebody could do that. But I look at a record like this, and it seems very doable. Isn't that only eating, three or four a minute? I mean, that doesn't seem too tough.
Yeah,
They're little.
I think the first dozen or so, maybe the first two dozen, go down pretty quickly. And that's when I think you start to hit the roadblock.
We'll talk about this with Beer Mug in this 6:05 break, but he did a trial run.
Oh, did he?
And,
did a little training over the weekend?
You'd be surprised how hard those are to swallow.
That's what she said.
Insert joke there. Because they're so kind of gooey. And they don't break down in your teeth that easily. So, I mean, it just starts to fill up and fill up. And you get more and more of this marshmallow paste in your mouth, and it becomes a mess.
And here's the thing with shut up, Bean. Here's the thing with sugar too: is your mouth starts to get gooey and you get dehydrated. Your mouth gets dry, and then
it's harder
and harder to swallow.
That's what she said.
And then eventually, I think you just start losing your will to live. So that's the problem around the 50 mark.
We'll find out for Beer Mug what he did to train for this, but we're going to go for it. I think in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, Beer Mug and the Great Peep Challenge is definitely going to be happening. Also,
That's what she said.
It's Tuesday, and that means more free songs that you can win from K-Rock and iTunes. That's also coming up at the 6 o'clock hour this morning. We got a guy who is in the Guinness Book of World Records today. He is the all-time Guitar Hero 3 champion. I saw him on the news. He plays perfectly.
That's what she said.
Okay, enough.
No, that's not... He doesn't miss a note. That's how good this dude is.
Well, that doesn't sound like much fun.
He is 16 years old, and his life has already peaked. I mean, what's he ever going to do that's going to replace the thrill of being perfect at Guitar Hero 3? So we'll talk to him on the program today. Panic at the Disco on the show today. They're one of the bands that's got a new album out today. Speaking of new music, the new Rockin' Tours album out today. We'll hear their brand new single coming up just after 6 o'clock this morning. That's something you won't want to miss. Music editor from Blender Magazine talking about the greatest record company screw-ups of all time. You know, there are a bunch of guys who were walking around at after the Beatles became the biggest band in the world and who said,
yeah,
I sure could have signed them.
That's the legendary one. The guy, I guess it was at Decca Records or something at the time.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson brought him the tapes of the Beatles, and the guy said, guitar bands are on their way out. I'll pass on these four guys from Liverpool. We're not interested, thanks.
So, and there's story after story after story. I mean, you know, almost many of the bands that you know and love were rejected by somebody before somebody said yes. And it's always funny to see, you know, what the people say after the fact. So
or bands that you hate were given enormous amounts of money for their record deals and then just sucked.
That's
exactly.
True.
Yeah. And Ralph, I know you're very excited. It's been a long time since we've done this, but cartoon characters, you want a bone.
Oh,
on today's
yeah.
Kevin and Bean Show.
Some of the greatest bar conversations I've ever had in my life have surrounded this topic. We call them kilfs.
Kilfs,
yes.
Right?
cartoon characters, I'd like to, you know, the F word.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, all of us, I think, our burgeoning sexuality sort of came into bloom when we were kids, either watching cartoons or comic books or whatever, and it's those characters that gave us those early stirrings in our young prepubescent loins, and that's how we knew we wanted to do the nasty with Wonder Woman from the Super Friends.
That's what screwed me up for life, is not finding anyone who could live up to the real world Judy Jetson. You know, I mean, that's where I got
sure.
trouble right there. So we'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour, plus our old friend LaQuisha on the program today with highlights of last night's That's Amore, which is the hit reality show spinoff of the
Sunday
Keela Keela show. Sunday nights, excuse me. Yeah.
Right.
So LaQuisha on the program today. That, to me, sounds like a pretty full show. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. We'll do that for you right after this. It's 5:45 on the world-famous K-Rock. Speaking of great new music coming up, Ralph, you know
yes.
Eddie Vedder is coming to town. He's at the Wiltern doing a solo show on April 11th and April 12th.
I know. That's pretty rare, isn't it, for him to perform solo?
Very rare. Sans Jam. Yeah. So we're going to be giving away tickets to that all this week on K-Rock. When you hear Elderly Women from Pearl Jam between 7 and 8 this morning, be caller 20. Win tickets in to see Eddie Vedder and be qualified for the grand prize drawing we do later in the week to see Pearl Jam in New York City. 5:54, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on?
I heard in his solo show, Eddie does a lot of stand-up and, like, prop comedy and stuff. He's like a young Carrot Top, they say.
Yeah, he's well-known for his hilarity and his comfort level in front of an audience.
One music critic called him side-splitting. Another one said, you'll laugh till you'll cry. So if you're a comedy fan, as well as an Eddie Vedder fan, you can enjoy that
it's
solo
like
show.
Tenacious D,
right.
Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, he's got some parody songs you will not believe.
Sure.
Yeah. He's like a young Dickie Goodman.
Puts on the fake glasses and mustache.
Oh, the Groucho nose?
Oh, that's the best.
He's a cut-up. He's a prankster.
That's what Eddie Vedder's
done
for.
Can't keep him down. That's what I'm saying. Speaking of comedy, what a double shot weekend I had this weekend. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada.
That Las Vegas.
Yes, entertainment capital. Well, there's Las Vegas, New Mexico, too, you know.
That's right. And California, too,
that's
I think.
That's right. So I was there over the weekend, and I saw the legendary comic icon Don Rickles this weekend.
How was that?
Took my parents to see him, because my parents are big fans of Rickles, and we went, and as am I, we went to the Vegas to see him this weekend. And I'll tell you, it was great, first of all. He's like in his 80s, but he's still abrasive and picks on people in the audience, and is hilarious. And the audience could not love him anymore. He got like 4 standing O's during the course of his show.
That's cool.
You know, he's an icon now, and people just adore him, and he can get away with anything. Anything.
Yeah.
He can say anything he wants. And then on Saturday night, I took my mom and dad to see the comic stylings of Mr. Bobby Slayton.
Oh, really?
Heir apparent to Don Rickles in terms of mocking people and making fun of people. And we laughed just as hard, I'll tell you. Mr. Slayton was a very, very fun weekend.
Now, how does that kind of comedy that he does go over with your elderly parents?
Here's the thing. My parents are pretty hip. And they were laughing as hard as anybody in the room.
Oh, that's nice.
Because here's the thing about Bob. He does a lot of relationship stuff. And sometimes he can work
blue,
as they say. You know, he was crude language. But he's not really foul about it. He just uses it the way we use it sort of in conversation.
Right.
But he does a ton of Rickle-esque stuff about picking on people in the audience. The blacks and the Chinese and the Japanese and the gay guys and stuff and everything. And it's all very, very funny. So they enjoy
it. Good times.
When I want to laugh, I'll take Bob Saget. Thank you very much.
No. Bobby Slayton. By the way, he's at Hooters, if you want to check him out. The Hooters Hotel and Casino in Vegas. He's there every weekend. So if you get a chance and you're in Vegas, you should check out Bobby because he's very funny. All right, let's talk about the showbiz news. A lot of celebrities ending their relationships. as usual. Johnny Knoxville's divorce has been finalized by the L.A. Superior Court. TMZ.com says he's still going to work out community property, spousal, and child support, and the child custody arrangements with his wife, Melanie Lynn. But by all accounts, those are underway, and hopefully their little girl, Madison, will be well taken care of, despite the fact that her mommy and daddy are having a rough spot.
Yeah.
Speaking of marriages ending, Pamela Anderson and Rick Solomon, their marriage is officially over. It was annulled. You got to do put some work in to get an annulment, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, there usually has to be some sort of fraud involved, right? Like somebody's previously married or somebody's gay or somebody married you for your money and they found out about it. Or what's the deal here?
Well, in December, Pam filed paperwork that said she won an annulment granted on the grounds of fraud. And last week, Rick said, oh, yeah, and filed some papers saying he won an annulment on the grounds of fraud. So everybody's just fraudulating each other.
No kidding.
It's fraud tactic.
That's what she said.
They're just frauding back and forth.
They're bitter.
They are bitter, and they're full of fraudiosity, too. That's the problem, Gianna. But apparently, a judge said, I've had enough, you two a-holes. Get out of my court, and he granted the annulment. So it never happened. Boop. They never got married.
Yeah. It took longer to get the divorce than they were married.
Yes. It was in, like, a couple weeks, right?
Isn't that when they were married? Yeah, not long.
I wish I'd never married you. And the judge said, your wish came true. So... She only has two ex-husbands and one... What do you call an ex? An old husband.
Just, yeah, that's a good point. Is it an ex?
I don't know if it is or not. The marriage. They say the marriage never took place, in essence.
Yeah. It didn't happen. Yeah.
Kevin Federline was in Vegas over the weekend, too. Had I known, I would have hung out. I had no idea K-Fed was in town.
You guys seem like you'd get along.
We would have rolled deep together. I would have put on my wife beater, my fedora. I would have been busting mad rhymes. It would have been good times. He celebrated his 30th anniversary, or 30th birthday, rather, at Pure Nightclub. Apparently, he was there with about 20 friends and was just hanging out, drinking Jack Daniels right out of the bottle. He's a classy guy. Here's the thing. He got $300,000 to host his own birthday party.
What? Why?
Whoa. Yeah.
Why?
Because he's K-Fed, man. That brings, but how, brings in the ladies.
What club was he at?
He was at Pure at Caesars.
What press can Pure possibly get that's good from having Kevin Federline in their establishment?
Here I am talking about the fact that he was at the Pure nightclub in Las Vegas.
But everyone who's listening is thinking, well, make a note. Don't go to Pure.
Or they say, oh, I heard about Pure. That was that place that Kevin Federline was celebrating his birthday at. Let's go check out that place. Must be pretty cool.
What a douche.
Yeah. So about midnight, they claimed, he grabbed the microphone away from the DJ and started addressing the crowd that had gathered in a rambling, profanity-laced speech, says TMZ. People in the audience started to boo him off the stage.
He's a douche.
At his own birthday party.
Come on.
That loser got booed off the stage.
Yeah,
absolutely
dude.
Useless.
Yeah, good times. Here's the thing that's great about this whole thing, to me personally. Britney Spears, meanwhile, checked into a Malibu hotel and spent some time with friends going out shopping and hanging out on the beach in Malibu.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Federline was in Vegas celebrating his 30th birthday at Pure Nightclub.
Right.
The kids, Easter, the kids, the two kids.
Right.
With a nanny and a bodyguard all weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
Isn't that sweet?
That is not the Easter that they want to remember, that's for sure. You happened to see Britney on How I Met Your Mother last night, Ross?
I did not watch that show, no. How was she?
She was fine. I mean, they cleaned her up pretty good. It wasn't embarrassing. She was better than she was when she was on Will and Grace, I'll tell you that.
Britney was pretty good on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah?
Nowhere near as good as she was on South Park last week.
When she blew her own head off?
Oh, she was amazing.
That was spectacular. That's dedication from an actress right there. And speaking of actresses, Kim Kardashian is reportedly... the lead candidate in the running to play Ashley Dupree.
Yeah.
Whore to Elliot Spitzer in a made-for-TV movie about the whole affair.
No! God damn it, no!
Finally, a role worthy of Kim Kardashian's acting chops. She gets to play a whore.
Yeah, she can pull that off.
However, how will she do it? From what will she draw her inner monologue, I wonder?
I suspect she'll just pull out from her vast catalog of sex tapes
yeah,
and just refresh her memory.
She'll have to soften up that muffin top a little bit, though.
Oh, come on now.
I'm just saying.
She's a attractive young lady. Fat. No, she is not.
No, Kim Kardashian is. I'm saying to play Ashley Dupree, she's going to have to add a couple pounds of fried chicken fudge on top of her on top of her lady garden.
Fried chicken fudge?
Yeah, you know, it's a little greasy, kind of cheesy.
Stop. She says regarding the rumor that she's been going to star in the TV movie, she said, I don't know, I've yet to read the script, and I want to see who else is in it. It can't be some cheesy TV movie. Oh, no.
No,
no, that would never happen, talking about a sex scandal with the governor of New Jersey and a whore. I'm sure it'll be
what
a high
kind of
class.
Acting does she think she deserves to be in? Like, she should only be seeing Gwyneth scripts at this point based on being on a reality TV show?
I've heard she is developing a project where she plays Queen Victoria, a young Queen Victoria. Opposite Clive Owen.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
And sadly, say goodbye to Fox sitcom The Return of Jezebel James.
Which one was that?
That was the one with Parker Posey.
Oh, yeah. And, I meant to watch that.
Who's the redhead from 6 Feet Under?
Lauren Imbrus.
Yes. About the girl who's got a wacky sort of rebel younger sister, and she brings her in to be her surrogate and carry her baby for her. Sadly, that premise did not catch on with audiences. And Fox says it's going to air repeats of Bones in its place because the show has indeed been canceled. I think it was only on like twice.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so sorry for all you Jezebel James fans.
Just the smell is unbearable.
Yeah, it was a bad show.
Today, celebrity birthdays, actor Paul Michael Glaser. You know him better as Starsky.
Yeah!
From the original Starsky and Hutch TV series. I cannot tell you how much that show meant to me as a young man. That was the world to me, Starsky and Hutch.
Admit, though, because I love the old vintage television. Doesn't hold up.
No. I went out and bought the box set the first season because I love that show so much. I started watching. I was like, holy crap.
Right. I agree.
How did I suffer through this? But initially, it was a big deal. He's 65. Marsha Cross, one of the stars of Desperate Housewives, is 46 years old today. Sarah Jessica Parker.
No. Oh.
From Sex and the City, soon to be seen in the Sex and the City movie this summer. She is 43 years old today.
And what's the best description you've ever heard of her, Ralph?
She looks like a foot.
Yeah.
That's from Family Guy. Thank you, Family Guy. And singer Catherine McPhee.
Oh!
The beautiful and talented newlywedded Catherine McPhee, one of my faves. You know, she's been on the show many times. We're very close.
Boobies!
She is a young lady of enormous talent.
Boobies,
grace, and I wish her nothing but the success.
Cojones,
she so rightly deserves. She doesn't have cojones. First of all,
I'm sorry.
She is 24 years old today.
Balls.
So I want to wish Catherine a happy birthday and let her know I still got the McFever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Rodney. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brand new rockin' tours on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. That, my friends, is how you want to wake up in the morning. Suck it, Seacrest. You hear what I'm saying?
Rocks!
That does sound awesome. The new album is in stores today called Consolers of the Lonely. We'll talk more about it later and play some clips for you, too. By the way, the album was finished in the first week of March. It was finished about 2.5 weeks ago, and it's out today. That's the way Jack White and company rolls right there. Anyway, brand new rockin' tours for you on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. So Easter Sunday is beyond us, is past us, is behind us, I think is the word I'm looking for.
It's all those.
Which means that peeps are now cheap, which is why we decided to do this today, because we're being thrifty here.
That's right. We don't want them to go to waste, because the peeps just sit there in the 99-cent store, and you know what happens? They become paperweights.
And you know what else happens?
It's not a big shelf life for peeps. They get hard pretty quick.
I suspect that they put those same peeps they don't sell for Easter 08 out for Easter 09 is what I suspect, by the way.
I'm telling you, they stock peeps deep and sell them cheap.
Wow.
Huh. So we just found out last week, I don't know how it came up, but apparently there is some sort of a peep-off that goes on every year. And apparently there's a guy who holds the current record of 30 minutes, 103 peeps? Is that what you said, Ralph?
Yes.
103.
It happens up in SACTO, apparently. Sacramento, California is where they hold the peep off every year.
Okay. Now, can anyone apply? I mean, is this the type of thing that's open to all comers and you can just get up there and go for that record if you want? Or?
I think it's just the pros. I don't think amateurs are allowed in this particular tournament. I think you have to be a professional peep eater. Yes, Bean, anyone can enter. It's like a guy in a trailer in Sacramento having people come into his neighborhood and eat peeps.
Now, I heard the story and I thought, oh, that's interesting. You heard the story and you thought, hey, that's pretty cool. Beer Mug heard the story and thought, I can do that.
This is in
there. I can eat more pizza.
Yes, he said.
Mug, what's going on with you, dude? What's your deal?
You're all about the competitive eating these days.
it's interesting. I heard Ralph talking about it last week and I was like, I think I can do that. 103 peeps. First of all, I love peeps. You know, you guys hate them. I love them.
But you're
them.
A Jew. When do you ever run across the peeps? They used to end up in our Easter basket. How do your people find them?
See, I get all the leftovers when I'm shopping for the matzah.
Oh, I see. The day after when they go on a reduced price, that's when you stock up?
Exactly. So when I'm shopping.
His people are thrifty, Ralph, so they're the cheapest thing on the shelf, right?
So I was like, I could do that. And I did a little mug search again. And I did
Mug search.
Mugsearch.com is my favorite search engine.
did some YouTube videos and, you know, read some articles. And
is there any conspiracies involving the peeps that you know of, Mug?
None that I know of. But I researched into it, and people have attempted, you know, to eat as many peeps as they can in a certain, you know, number of time, span of time, I should say. And it looks like it's a pretty difficult feat. I'm not going to lie. I tried a little bit.
I have a
hard
time eating one peep. I know that.
Yeah, much less 100.
I tried a little bit on Saturday. And
a little warm-up?
A little warm-up, and I did about 10 in under, like, 2 minutes. And I'm not going to lie, it was pretty tough on the jowls. It's pretty tough on the throat, too, because it's swallow.
But the good news is, Mug, you don't have to keep that blistering a pace throughout the entire 30 minutes.
That
I mean, 10 in two minutes is faster than you need to be eating them. You can take a little bit more time.
Unless you're in the Blue Man group, you don't need to stuff marshmallows in your mouth that fast.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm thinking the first couple dozen aren't going to be the hard part. It's going to be the back end that's going to get you.
Definitely.
That's what she said.
Definitely.
Now, Mug, we're very sketchy on the rules. We maybe should have gotten somebody on from the peep off to ask some of these questions. But are you allowed to drink as you're eating them? Are you allowed to wash them down that way, for instance? Or
that's what she said.
I'm aware of that. In any eating contest, you're allowed to have a little bit of liquid. Even Kobayashi, the famous hot dog eater, has either lemonade or water to, you know, break down the food that he's intaking.
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought the hot dogs, Mug, because I know lately you've been on sort of a competitive eating kick.
Yeah.
We had hot dogs delivered here to the station recently.
Yes.
I forgot who brought them in, Pink's or somebody. And you said, I can eat 10 of these in an hour or something.
Yeah, everybody made wagers, and I think
you had like 6 hot dogs in 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
It's not, but hot dogs, and these Pink's hot dogs are pretty big hot dogs.
Yeah.
And all the bread involved, you know, it expands in your stomach. I felt if I would have powered through that, I would have been all right, but I slowed down, and that was my downfall.
All right.
Now, this is interesting, and we're getting ready to begin and go for the record here. The 30 minutes, 103 is what we're shooting for. It's interesting that in what few rules I've been able to find, there is a 5-minute what they call cooling off period at the end of the 30 minutes to make sure there are no, as they say in competitive world of eating, reversals.
Yeah.
In other words, it doesn't count if there's a reversal.
You got to eat them all and then keep them down for 5 minutes.
Keep them down. Right, exactly. Right.
If you do reverse, you are going to have to eat the reversal, we've decided. That's our new rule.
Yeah. It's Beer Mug, Ralph. It's not Reggie. Come on. All right, Mug, any final thoughts before you get started here? Any strategy you want to share with us?
Probably not to slow down. I got my nice little tracksuit on. I'm ready to do this. Ready to.
Well, thank God you're wearing a tracksuit.
All right. I have a timer here that is going to be set for 30 minutes. So, Mug, if you want to prepare, we are going to start in 5 seconds.
All right.
And 4, 3, 2, 1, and eat.
Oh, look at that. He's just piling peeps into his face.
That's what she said.
They're the pink peeps, too. He's eating the pink. Now, usually you run across the yellow peeps this time of year, but I guess the pink is the second most popular peep color, followed by purple after that.
I feel like I'm watching a marathoner who is at a 2-minute mile pace right now that obviously he's not going to be able to keep up.
You think he's sprinting too much?
It just seems like he needs to pace himself. 30 minutes is a hell of a lot of time.
Bean, you're timing it. Who's counting? Who's counting peeps? Because he's already got a couple.
Well, they come 5 to a package.
Okay.
And I don't know how many packages we have here in front of him, but we'll just count empty boxes. How about
that's a good idea. How many has he had so far?
He has got 5 down.
That's unbelievable. In just 45 seconds, too, by the way.
Oh, you're going to crush. You're going to crush the record, Mug.
Well, we'll find out.
Well, how are you feeling, Mug?
I'm pretty good so far.
Hey, starting to sound more and more like Mug all the time. That's how he sounds when he's got a load on and he calls the Afro line.
Now, mercifully,
work today.
Mercifully, we are not going to do play-by-play for 30 full minutes.
What?
We do have other things planned, and we will continue to go back to Beer Mug and find out who he's doing. We'll keep the timer running, keep the counter running. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. All right, we're at 10 minutes in. Beer Mug, how many peeps have you had so far?
I'm just about to put number 27 into my mouth.
Number 27. Now, wait,
27
so that means
10 minutes.
That means he's
three
not
times 27.
At the pace he needs to be to break the record, is he?
Sure he is. 10 minutes times 3. Got 27 times 3. Yeah. Would be...
less than 90. He needs 103.
I need to speed it up a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You need to speed it up a little bit. Yeah. Beer Mug is trying to eat 103 peeps in 30 minutes. That's what's going on here right now. That's apparently the record. And he is a champ. I mean, the guy is chugging it.
Oh. That's what he said.
All right. I knew somebody was saying
that. He's covered in a sparkly pink sugar, too, which makes him look sort of like a gluttonous fairy.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, Mug, you
the
keep eating.
Fairies.
No, they're very good. Opening for Eddie Vedder right here at the Wilton.
Yes, they are.
All right. You keep eating. We'll check back with you in a minute. 1-800-520-1067. What about 106.7 free songs on iTunes from K-Rock? Hit it, Steve. We're talking about another game we like to call Omaroki.
Oh, Maroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Good morning, Omar. How are you?
What's happening, man?
What songs are you going to be singing for us today in your beautiful dulcet tones?
I'm going to be rocking iTunes Top 100 songs. So if it's in the Top 100 on iTunes, I will rock some tunes from that selection.
This game, okay, of course, started because Omar cannot sing.
How dare you?
He is incapable of carrying the most simple of tunes.
Have you heard all the magic intros and all my Rachel Ray music that I do?
Yes, we
have. It's amazing.
I think that's what Ralph is basing his conclusion on, that Omar can't sing, in fact.
So the challenge for the listener is to listen to Omar sing and then try to identify as best you can what song he is singing.
Let's start with Freddie in the LBC on line 8. Freddie, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, first of all. Listen up. Ralph is here. Omar is here. He's going to be singing, and all you have to do is identify by title and artist the song that Omar is singing in the iTunes Top 100 this week, okay?
Okay.
All right, now, here's a hint for you. It may not be a K-Rock song. He will be singing some K-Rock songs, but anything in the Top 100 is eligible, but they'll all be songs you know. All right, Omar, song number one, here we go.
She had them apple-bottom jeans, boots with the fur, the whole club looking at her. She hit the flow, the next thing you know, shotty got.
Ooh, wow. Sounds exactly like the original.
That's what I'm saying.
What do you think, Fred?
Okay, that's apple-bottom jeans.
Those are lyrics in the song. That's not what the song is called.
It's not the actual title, though.
That's all I know it by.
Oh, you were looking for Low by Flo Rida. So close.
The fur.
Okay.
Nice try. Thank you for the call.
Called Low and sounds nothing like that.
What are you talking about? They had a little chorus effect. If you put a little chorus on my voice, bam, just like that.
We could put an entire chorus behind you. It wouldn't mean
nothing. Let's try Blake on line one. He's in Redlands this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Top 100 iTunes songs. Omar sings it. You identify it by title and artist. Blake, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen up. Here's your song.
And cards and flowers on your window. Your friends all plead for you to stay. Sometimes beginnings aren't so simple. Sometimes goodbye's the only way. Oh.
All right. Enough.
Wow. Wow.
Brutal.
Blake, I'm sorry I had to hear that. Title and artist, please.
Damn it.
Is that 3 Days
Grace?
No.
No, unfortunately, it's our friends in Linkin Park, their song Shadow of the Day.
Sorry, man.
You know, I'm a little bit embarrassed because the Linkin Park guys live here. They listen to the show. They want to get out of the business. You know?
They're going to call me up because, you know, Chester really stresses voices out at some time. So they might call me up to do backup, you know, when everyone in their LA.
Melvin is in the city of Bell on K-Rock. Hi, Melvin. How you been doing so far listening to these songs? Have you figured out either of the ones you've heard so far?
He's having a great time. He's getting to listen to me sing, dude. Are you kidding me?
Enough. Melvin, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Yourself?
Did you know any of the previous songs you heard?
Only one, I think.
All right, we'll see if you can get this one. Here's your song from Omar Oki.
Into a place where thoughts can bloom. Into a room where it's 9 in the afternoon. And we know that it could be. And we know that it should. And you know that you feel it too. Ooh.
Thank God.
Melvin, silent artist.
Gotta put my little spin on it.
If it helps, the title of the song was in the lyrics that Omar sang.
Yeah, interesting choice in lyrics there.
Yeah.
Omar.
So really, all you have to do is put that together with the artist.
I don't know.
All right, Melvin.
9 in the afternoon by Panic at the Disco.
Into a room where it's 9 in the afternoon.
Not even close.
What are we talking about?
By the way, Panic at the Disco will be here later this morning talking about the brand new album.
Maybe.
These guys have an advantage because they're singing along to the music. Give me some music, I sound just like it. I'm a little
bit off,
but not by much.
We are just after the halfway point, by the way, in Beer Mug's 30 minutes. He's at 14 minutes and 21 seconds. How many you had so far, Mug of the Peeps?
This is 31 I'm on.
31? All right.
No, here's 5, 30, 35. That's 36.
Holy crap.
Yeah. You're at 36.
How about
faster
that?
Than I know.
Keep peeping,
good
man.
Work.
Keep peeping.
All right. We're in overdrive now. Sudden death. First person who can identify any song by title and artist that Omar is singing, you will win. Gino in Corona is on line 3. Hey, Gino. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Gino?
All right, stop.
106.7 free songs on iTunes from K-Rock. If you can identify this song, here's Omar Oki.
I waited 8 long months. She finally set him free. I told him I couldn't lie. He was the only one for me. 2 weeks and we caught on fire. She got it out for me, but I wear the biggest smile.
Oh, man.
What the hell is that?
Gino? That's a great question, Gino.
Any idea?
No clue.
Oh, come on!
How about Paramore, Misery Business? You know, Omar is like that contestant on American Idol last week who did that Beatles song like a bluegrass number.
That's
it's
right.
Just
yeah.
So unidentifiable that you can't believe it's the same source material.
I gotta put my own spin on it, but
stop.
It still sounds awesome.
Stop putting your horrible spin on it.
My awesome spin
try
on it.
Try to sing it the way it sounds.
How about Matt in Lake Forest, line 4? Matt, we're running out of time. We're running out of songs. Please get this Omar Oki. Listen closely. Here we go.
This one, I promise, I'm going to do an exact rendition of the original tune.
Okay.
You got me tripping, stumbling, flipping, fumbling, clumsy cause I'm falling in love, in love. You got me slipping, tumbling, sinking, crumbling, clumsy cause I'm falling in love, in love.
All right.
Shut up.
Okay. Matt, put us out of our misery. Title and artist, please.
That was awfully good. I'm going to say Fergie Clumsy.
Yeah!
Congratulations, 106.7 free songs on iTunes from K-Rock, and more importantly, you put us out of our misery. We don't have to listen to Omar sing. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks.
Oh, Omar Oki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Now that you hear that, you realize how bad Omar Oki was a few minutes ago trying to sing that song, don't you? That's
yes,
Linkin Park on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Why the big music, Kevin Amin? Well, because 3 minutes from right now will be 30 minutes since Beer Mug started going for the all-time peep record. How many peeps can you eat in 30 minutes? The record is 103. Ralph, you're standing next to Mug. What's he up to?
He's got number 49 in his mouth as we speak. He's got 50 in his hand.
Wow, that 103 didn't look that tough on paper, but in reality...
I told you, people, you don't listen to me. It's hard.
I am shocked by that. Mug is a champion eater, and he's only at half of the record.
That champion my ass. He's attempted to eat a lot of things, but he's never really quite closed the deal. He's a big talker is what he is.
Well, and we've proven Mug is a champion drinker. We've never really seen Mug be a champion eater.
Yeah.
Ever.
But, Psycho Mike, you had a theory about Mug. I mean, there's some people who
swallow,
are cut
you
out.
Bitch, swallow! There,
that's what she said. There's some people who are cut out for this line of work. And why is it you think Mug is a good candidate to set a record like this, Mike?
Mug is just a gamer. When he knows something needs to be done, even when his back's to the wall, he just figures out a way to get it done. If he needs to work an overnight shift and still come in to do the morning show, he'll do it without any sleep. If he parties all night long and finds out at the last second he needs to cover someone's shift, he just figures out a way to get it done. And Mug, he's just that guy. guy. He's a gamer. He's tough.
You're rocking like an autistic kid in kindergarten. What's wrong with you?
Now, you guys said there's really no clear-cut rules.
There are clear-cut rules. You have to eat.
I'm going
to
finish this, but I have to ingest, right?
Yeah, you got to swallow.
You can't just stuff them in your mouth. You've got to accept to swallow them.
Blending them up in a blender.
No, you can't blend them in a blender. Just less talking, more eating. How much time does he have left, Bean?
He has a minute and 26 seconds left.
Oh, you're screwed. That's number 50 in your mouth now. You got a minute and 26 seconds.
Yeah, let's at least see where he goes. I mean, he definitely is enthusiastic enough, but he just he isn't skilled enough. That's the problem. He's a guy who wants to do well, but just doesn't have the chops to pull it off.
Right. Now he's starting taking them five at a time and sticking them in his mouth. You know you should.
Well, he should have thought of that at the beginning.
Let's go. Come on. Pick up the pace. Jesus, what do you think? Come on. More. Stuff them in your mouth.
That's what she said.
Do you want to be a loser? You want to be known as a loser the rest of your life?
50 seconds. 50 seconds,
you loser!
That's what she said.
Eat! Eat, you bastard! Eat like you've never eaten before! Eat! If you throw up, I will make you eat it.
Oh, my God. Look at him.
Come on.
Yeah.
Choke it down.
What's going on with the bike?
Oh, he's got a trash can in front of him.
30 seconds. Good.
Two girls, one seconds. Mug.
Oh, God. Wish you hadn't said that. That's
come
horrible.
On. 30 seconds.
Now we are at least at get 60. 20.
Come on. Keep. That's it. Jam it in.
That's what she said.
15 seconds
15,
to go.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Mug.
Mug. 10 seconds.
Swallow.
9. 8. Go 7.
Go
6.
That's
5.
What she said.
Go
4.
Fit.
3.
Go.
2.
Go.
1. Out of time. 30 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. How many peeps?
Let's see. 55.
Yeah, that is that's nowhere near where you needed to be.
No.
That's about half 55. Of where you need to. That's not.
He is hunched over a trash can, and peep is slowly just dripping out of his mouth and off his fingers.
That's not peep.
It's
wow.
Foul.
Yeah. How is he going to recover so we can try this again in the 8 o'clock hour? That's what I don't. That's what I don't know. Oh, that's very disappointing.
Oh, it's
Mike.
Coming out all pre-chewed.
That's what
not.
He said.
Oh,
is
no.
he spitting it out?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not
wow.
so much spitting out as it's kind of leaking out.
Oh,
it's sort
wow.
of seeping like a wound. His face is a big wound. He's got peep as the infection.
That is not pretty.
No,
that is
it
a
is
bad
not.
Way to start your day.
Oh.
All right, so chalk up another failure for the Kevin DeBean show.
Yeah.
Beer Mug turns out to be big hat, no cattle. He can't do it.
Don't say
he's
anymore you're going to eat anything in any sort of time period, will you? Because you're just a liar.
I'm going to take a beer out of my mouth. Mind you, the guy who did this trained for 7 years.
What do you mean trained for 7 years?
Trained his stomach and his jowls for 7 years.
Well, he's better than you are, Beer Mug. That's all there is to it. All right, Ralph, we don't have time, but later on, while we have what few extra peeps are laying around, and thanks to Beer Mug, we got about 30 of them now, can we microwave them later in video?
You want to do some peep jousting?
Let's do that later, because we don't have time right now. But I understand that microwave peeps is the best, right?
Yeah, they battle each other. You take two peeps, you stick toothpicks in the front of them, and you point them towards each other, and then you hit the microwave button, and they mutate and expand and attack each other. It's very entertaining.
Right. We have to do that later, and we have to put it up at KRO.com.
Oh, God!
Oh, that I can smell that from here.
We got a reversal. We got a reversal, people.
Okay. Yeah. That's we need a hazmat crew in here. We'll be right back on the world-famous KRO. Carrick listener Casey says 7,150 calories in the peeps that Beer Mug just ate.
Well, he's a skinny dude. He can handle it.
It's 6:59, Carrick UFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. We'll talk to the guy who's in the Guinness Book World Records as the best Guitar Hero 3 player of all time, coming up just after the news at 7. And keep listening for any song by Pearl Jam between 7 and 8 to win tickets to see Eddie Vedder at the Wiltern and be qualified to see Pearl Jam in New York City. Time for the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. Here's Ralph.
Is the Guitar Hero champion a guy named Kevin Ryder?
Actually, not this time, no.
Wow. Because Kevin always, you know, brags of his prowess
sure.
in that game.
Until we get off the air and he goes, my daughters killed me last night.
I suck, actually. Hey, here's some interesting news. Gossip Girl fans, apparently one of the male characters when the series returns on April the 21st is going to come out of the closet as a gay dude.
All right! Oh, that's stupid.
I'm guessing
that's stupid.
The King of Mexico is the character that will be coming out of the closet.
Nope.
Dave, didn't you have the Gossip Girl Museum of Television Radio Paley Center for Media Television Festival evening this weekend?
Yeah, I went on Saturday night.
It was awesome.
And it was the cast and the creators of Gossip
Girl,
right?
The cast creator, Josh Schwartz, and his partners and the producers.
Josh Schwartz, of course, who did OC. Right?
OC,
sure, yeah.
And
great
Chuck,
guy.
You know, and yeah, it was awesome. You know, we were supposed to see a brand new episode, but because of the strike, they just put together a clip show, which was awesome. It caught you up and everything, even showed clips from the upcoming episodes, and it was great to hear the cast just talk about the show and, you know, filming in New York and all that.
Was the whole cast there?
Yes, the whole cast, even the new girl.
Like, really?
Dude, they were hot.
Blake Lively
and Lee Meester.
She's hot, isn't she?
Wow.
Was Chase Crawford there?
He was dreamy.
He's got to be the gay one,
he
right?
He was dreamy.
Chase Crawford's got to be the gay one. With a name like Chase Crawford,
no, I think it'll be the British guy, Ed Cheswick, I think his name is.
Ed Cheswick.
They sound like that'll be a fast lane.
You're living in a whole other world than me, Dave.
Oh, Paley. I love Paley.
It was awesome.
Paley has red hair, and she sings so good. I love Paley.
No, that's Haley, dude. That's Haley from
Girl. I love her. It's so little.
The Paley Center for Media.
It was awesome. And, you know, if you missed it, you could go on Yahoo and check it out. I think they have it on Yahoo.
Oh, really?
When does Gossip Girls come back? Not till April something,
April 21st.
Right? It's Gossip Girl, by the way. It's not
April
Gossip Girls. Girls.
Yeah,
it makes you sound stupid when
Girls,
you say
dude.
That.
Yeah. Sorry.
Dave corrected me last time I made
April
that mistake.
April 21st. It's back on the C-dubs, you know.
You know.
C-dubs.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
Speaking of the Paley Television Festival, I've got tickets for tonight's very special evening with the cast and creators of Dirty Sexy Money from folks over there on ABC. I love that show. Peter Krause, of course, as you remember him from 6 Feet Under, he's the lead in the show along with Donald Sutherland and a very talented cast. So if you're a big fan of Dirty Sexy Money and you wouldn't have the same kind of geeky fan experience that Dave the King of Mexico had with Gossip Girl, you can call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First two callers to get through get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Dirty Sexy Money. And then tomorrow I'll be giving away tickets for Mad Men, which is my pet
sweet.
Show over there on AMC.
AMC, I think.
Yeah. Can't wait for that to come back.
Excellent show.
Yeah. John Hamm, who plays the lead in that show, was on the Bill Maher show this weekend. And he's a pretty interesting dude. For an actor, he seems pretty well-read and pretty intelligent, which you don't find an awful lot. Speaking of actors, Peter O'Toole will be playing the Pope on Showtime's The Tudors series when it returns at the end of the month. He tells TV Guide magazine that when he was 10 years old, he was an acolyte in the Catholic Church back at home, and he did it for 5 years. Started back in 1943. When he was working in the church, and listen to what he has to say about being in the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, there were some wonky priests who tried to touch you up. It was abominable. I was lucky I wasn't touched by it. The hard guys used to put a needle in their jeans so when the priest tried to grab you, they could get a nasty shock.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
So even back in 1943, priests were trying to feel up the altar boys.
That'd be amazing,
dude.
Wouldn't it?
What did you say his position was? No pun intended. In the church, he was an acolyte. Is that like an altar boy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And he did it for 5 years, from the age of 10 to 15. And he said even then, priests were trying to grab your junk back in the 40s.
Don't sound sexy.
So apparently, not a new problem. This thing, the Catholic
Church. He was riding dirty.
That's right. Yes, he was. Carmen Electra and her boyfriend Rob Patterson of Korn are apparently moving in together. According to Star Magazine, the actress and the guitarist are bedding down in her joint. And Karma's allegedly even turning down jobs to be with him. That's how crazy in love they are.
She sure has a type, doesn't she?
She likes her rockers, or women. Or women rockers, apparently.
What kind of work is she turning down, Ralph?
You know, offers to be Hans Klock's assistant in the magic show in Vegas.
Exactly.
The Pussycat Dolls need an extra set of legs. You know, I'm sure she gets the call. Hey, she gets offers, Bean. What do you know?
Okay.
Commercials, things, posters, shoots, stuff.
It is pretty pathetic.
Overnight ratings from Nielsen show a 9% drop in audiences for March Madness so far this year.
Well, it's been a great run. There have been some terrific games, some great upsets.
It's been one of the best March Madnesses I can remember in a long time in terms of upsets and passionate close games, so I'm surprised. But apparently, streaming online is up 24%.
There it is.
So
that makes sense.
That's why you lose your TV audience right there.
Who's the black guy who's an analyst who's real good on ESPN? Mike Hubert or
Humphrey, or he's got some
Hubert
name
Humphrey.
Like that.
Yes, Hubert Humphrey.
I think it's Hubert Humphrey. I saw him on today definitively declaring that UCLA will be upset this week when they play. Who are they playing? Western Kentucky or somebody. He says there's no way UCLA wins that game.
Wow. UCLA has not been playing good basketball.
Yeah,
they've been playing mediocre basketball against mediocre teams. So Western Kentucky could definitely upset them.
And apparently they're just on fire, which is interesting because so many people pick UCLA to win the whole thing. But he says it ends this week, so we'll see what we'll see if he's right.
I'm picking Davidson. That's who I'm picking.
Who the hell ever heard of Davidson? By the way, what's that deal?
I have no idea, but they're my pick.
Well, somebody we've never heard of is playing the Hoyas, so I guess we'll pick Georgetown. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
They were when I was watching ESPN this morning, they were talking about they had over 3.5 million people who sent in their brackets. I guess there's some big nationwide competition, and less than 5,000 of them are still in it. Yeah,
yeah, because no one had Davidson over Georgetown.
Where is
Davidson?
No kidding. I have no
idea. It's in Raleigh, North Carolina.
It was Davidson versus Goliath that night.
Oh,
you did not.
I did.
And lastly, prepare for the season 3 finale of The New Adventures of Old Christine. Can you believe that show's been on for 3 years?
No,
three?
I cannot.
Who's watching The New Adventures of Old Christine?
Yeah,
apparently enough people to keep it on the air. The reason you might want to tune in, because it'll be a little mini reunion for some Seinfeld alumni. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, of course, stars on the show. And Jason Alexander will be joining her. He'll be playing Christine's gynecologist.
Yeah.
Who informs her that her flu-like symptoms may actually be signs of early menopause. Oh, that sounds like a laugh riot.
Yeah.
Oh, that old Christine. She sure does have some new adventures, doesn't she?
I guess so.
Oh, yes. I wish
her
the
better every year.
I wish her the best. With
stupid
her
Lisa!
New adventures. What? Lisa didn't have anything to do with it.
Lisa watches that show.
Oh, that's probably true.
She does.
Does she really?
Yes.
Of course she does. Today's celebrity birthdays. Paul Michael Glazer, he was the original Starsky and the original Starsky and Hutch way back when. He is 65 years old today. Marcia Cross, star of Desperate Housewives, is 46 years old today. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Oh, like she doesn't, Gianna. Come on.
She's cute.
No, she's not.
She
by
is.
What
no,
definition?
She's not.
Settle down.
By what definition of that cute is she cute?
She's attractive. She's like, she seems cute and
no.
sweet.
No, listen.
She seems sweet.
She's tricked females into believing she's some type of sex symbol because of the show she was on and her, I guess, somewhat weird fashion sense. In actuality, she should have snakes coming out of her head. She's a pig.
Wow, you have a lot of animosity towards Sarah Jessica
yes,
Parker.
Psycho Mike has a lot of animosity towards women in general.
Gianna. Thank God I didn't say Rachel Ray.
Oh.
Catherine McPhee also celebrates her birthday today. Oh. Now, there's someone.
That's a woman right
that's
there.
That's a woman. She is 24 years old today. God bless her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Mike, I know it's not your game as much as it is my man Kevin's, who's out today, but you do love the Guitar Hero 3, I know.
It's a lot of fun.
What's a great score for you on a song? I mean, if you're really hitting it, if you're on all cylinders, you're ripping, what score do you end up with?
Oh, if like the best game I ever played would be six figures. You know, something anything over 100,000.
How about 840,647 points for a song? How about that?
That would be a lot better, wouldn't it?
How about Chris Chaik, who's on the line with us right now? Chris, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. You are from Rochester, Minnesota, 16 years old. Is that right?
Yep.
How'd you end up in New York City competing to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the Gamers Edition?
Well, I had put a whole bunch of videos of me playing Guitar Hero on YouTube, and I guess people from Guinness Book of World Records got a hold of it, and they sent me a message. They were like, yeah, we'll pay for your trip out to New York and whatever, and we want to make that record official, because I had very high scores, like already record-breaking scores, and they just wanted to fly me out to New York to make it official. So
you must have thought your friends were clowning on you when that call came through. Like, that's too good to be true, right?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, who gets a call that says, hey, we want to fly you out here to compete in a Guitar Hero competition?
But, to be honest, at first, like, I didn't even think it was real. I was like, this has to be some random guy just playing a joke on me.
Yeah.
Like, paying, for a flight out to New York in a hotel, that's, like, really sweet.
Exactly. Now, here's a clip of that day in New York, which I guess was just, a couple of weeks ago. Listen up as you get the award.
I wanted to award this to you, declaring you the, best Guitar Hero player, top scorer in the world right now, as recognized by Guinness World Records.
Now, your 840,647, that's what you played there that day, Chris, in front of the judges?
Yeah, in front of the camera people, but the thing is, actually, that later on in that day at that same place, I got 880,000. So I think Doug had said that they're going to put that in the record books, but as far as the media goes, they're going to say 840,000, but actually, undercover, the actual record's 880,000.
Do you know if anyone has beat that?
No record of it.
What's your secret, Chris? We got so many people. We've had a lot of conversations on our show with people who are just obsessed with this game. People are losing relationships. They're breaking up with wives. They're losing time at work because they're so addicted they want to play it all the time. First of all, do you have that problem? Are you one of those guys who play it all the time? And second of all, what's your secret to being so good?
First of all, my life isn't ruined because of Guitar Hero. Like, I still have a life. I still go out with friends. I'm still in school, still in sports and everything. So I haven't really destroyed my life yet. And my secret is just have a passion for it, I guess. You have to just sit down. You have to figure out the rhythms to all the songs. And then just use practice mode because that's really helpful. You got to nail those sections that are hard. You got to keep playing them over and over again. And you have to use star power. That's a very important part, too. And hammer on.
How much time do you play on average, like every day?
Recently, actually not that much because I'm actually playing other video games. But I'll still go back to it eventually. It's not like I'm ever going to give it up or anything.
Chris, had you played an actual guitar before, or are you just a big gamer and this was the next game on your list?
I'm a gamer. I have not played a real guitar, but I am kind of a musical person. I like to sing, but I'm not very good at it. I used to play the piano a little bit back in seventh and eighth grade.
Here's a little bit of the song. Guitar Hero 3 fans will recognize this one from Dragon Force. This is Chris playing on it. That's from that day where you got into the Guinness World Record Gamer Edition. Is that your best song on the game, Chris, or is there something else you're even better at?
No, that is definitely my best song. Get the highest.
Unbelievable.
Score, most. Yeah.
Hey, you, as I understand, you had a 97% completion on the expert level. So it is theoretically possible even to go higher. I mean, could somebody get 100%? And if so, how many points would that be?
I mean, it's possible, but there's really no way someone's going to get it right now because I've hit 98% at home, and that was, like, already a miracle. So I'm going to need a lot more practice, and 100% score would be about 992,000. So.
How you feeling about your 100,000 now, Mike?
I'm just embarrassed to even be talking to this kid.
I know, you're ashamed. All right, Chris, you're 16. What grade are you in out there in Rochester, Minnesota?
Actually, a junior at Century High School, and I'm right outside in the parking lot because I left school to take this call.
So. Oh, check you out. That's
fantastic.
Very cool. Now, is this just a babe magnet, this honor? I mean, are you just the man walking around the halls today?
That actually could be it. Some girls are talking about, like, I want to date you just so I can date a famous guy, blah, blah, blah. They want to be famous and stuff, so.
Well, you can think that's what it is, but they know how fast your fingers are, dude. That's what's going on there.
Oh, yeah. I brought that up a couple times.
Chris, let me tell you, as a married man and a guy who's substantially older than you, take advantage of that. And just take advantage of that as much as possible while you can. Just use it for to your advantage. Okay. Good boy.
All right. He is in the Guinness World Record Book Gamer Edition 2008 Guitar Hero 3 champ. Chris, get back to school, man. Thanks for skipping to talk to the Kevin and me, John K. Rock. We appreciate it, dude.
Yep, thank you.
That's about my speed on Guitar Hero. That's about the song that I would pick, I think. That is Pearl Jam, of course, on K-Rock. David Ortega from Garden Grove heard that. Was caller 21. Tickets to go see Ed Vedder at the Wiltern. Sold out April 11th and 12th. Also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show to send someone to see Pearl Jam in New York City. They're doing a mini tour. I think they're only going out on the road literally for like 2 weeks this whole year. And this is going to be one of the shows. You'll get a chance to see it. The next song you are listening for is Pearl Jam Singing Alive. And we'll play that for you between 10 and 11 o'clock this morning here on the world famous K-Rock.
Do his friends call him Ed? Is that how it shakes down? Ed Vedder?
I think so. Just Ed? I believe so. I believe they call him Ed. Yeah.
Maybe they go as far and go Ed Ved? Maybe that's his nickname around the house?
I don't.
Ed Ved. Ed Ved. What's up, baby?
I doubt that.
Eve.
Rough. How did this...
How did this conversation get started in the office? I am sometimes miss out, but apparently everybody's on fire about cartoon characters you want to have sex with.
Yes, we were sitting in the office the other day, and I was talking about the fact that I believe human sexuality develops and presents itself way before puberty hits. You know, usually the people say around 12 or 13 is when the hormones start to kick in. You get hair in your special places. And you start to, for guys, your voice deepens. For ladies, you start to get your little blooming buds. Right there, little buds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think we know.
I know, but I just like talking about it. But I think it happens way before that. Even when you're a kid, you might not be aware of what you're feeling, but there are certain attractions that you get. But when you're watching television, for most kids, what you're predominantly watching at that age group is cartoon characters. So I was talking about the fact that I remember distinctly watching Super Friends and watching Wonder Woman and just getting insanely excited about the possibility of doing naughty, naked things to her.
Wait, how old were you when you were getting insanely excited, as you put it?
Like 5.
Oh.
Yeah. Way too young to know what things you were planning on doing to her, right?
Just,
or how
I just
it all worked.
Knew I
or
liked that thing. I liked the big boobs and that eagle, the gold eagle breastplate she was wearing, and those shorty short star spangled shorts she had going on.
Oh, yeah.
It was a high heeled red leather boots that she was rocking, and I just wanted to do her.
And this is the cartoon we're talking about.
This is the cartoon. This is the Super Friends.
This isn't Linda Carter in the costume, and you're actually looking at a real woman with a bosom. You're just talking about the drawing, the cartoon drawing.
Exactly. And I remember Betty Rubble, Barney's wife. I had a thing for her, too. I had a crush on her. I had a lot of attractions to cartoon characters when I was a kid.
Gianna, does that work in reverse? Do girls sit at home and watch He-Man and think, wow, I'd like to get me a piece of that, or...
I mean, we think they're good looking or it looks cool, but I can't say yes to that. I think I'd find a girl more attractive in a cartoon than a guy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, just because
good answer.
It's usually when the guys, they look like the Metalopolis. What's it called?
Metalocalypse, yeah.
I'm kind of into that right now. That's kind of cool. Like,
okay.
They're kind of cool looking.
But I mean, like Scooby-Doo, Daphne from Scooby-Doo, the redhead.
She's pretty hot.
They used to hang around with Fred, you know, the girl with the short skirt. Not Velma, not that dyke. But Daphne used to do it for me.
Sure.
And Josie and the Pussycats?
Oh.
Forget about it. All three of the Pussycats. I just wanted to go on tour with them and just be their nasty groupie in the back of the van.
For me, and I think for a lot of guys in my generation, it was Jem. I don't know if you remember the cartoon.
I remember Jem. Sure.
Jem.
She was the rock and roll chick.
She was a rock and roll chick by night.
Right, and by day she was like a mousy normal broad.
She was a take no prisoners businesswoman.
That's right.
But she could turn into a rock and roller.
Yeah.
And in both the business suit or the rock and roll outfit, I just wanted to just puncture a hole in my TV when I was a little boy.
And she had that Japanese anime thing with the big eyes, the big saucer eyes, right?
Oh, God, what was the name of her computer?
What about Smurfette? Was she hot?
Actually, kind of, yes.
It was, but it kind of turned you off that she was the only girl on, like, the whole Smurf
island. I thought
that
was the hottest.
Well, you knew she was getting wrecked by 500 male Smurfs.
I envisioned her just slutting herself out for all the Smurfs.
But you don't want to go after 500 Smurfs, though, Ralph.
Yes,
I think it's the
point.
Yes, you
do, because I look so huge where it counts. After I go after a Smurf, it's like, she's using these tiny little blue penises, and I come along rocking White Thunder, and her head explodes.
You forgot about the time Gilgamesh came and put in work.
Now, this is Bean speaking. I didn't grow up in your country, so I didn't have the advantage of seeing all these cartoons growing up. But
no cartoons in England? Were you raised in a wolf's den?
I was a little bit too young. I didn't really see much or remember much of those days. And then I lived in other countries around the world that didn't have the cartoons. But I will tell you that I was a comic book guy, and I do – one of my very, very early memories is trying to decide between Betty and Veronica in the Archie comic strip.
Yeah. Because they had the same bra with different colored hair. That was
they were identical, and I think my conclusion was just I'll have one of each. You know, why choose when you could have both?
You said you settled for Jughead. You said, oh, give me some Jughead instead.
So the topic on the table is KILFs. That's what we're talking about here, and I see people are already calling with some great ones. We're looking for the cartoon characters that you fantasized about. I don't know. Do we restrict it to when you were a kid, or could it be today, Ralph? Could it be someone who you think is way hot today? Even?
I say bring it.
Okay,
I say bring it. Any era, because, there's still cartoon characters that I flip around and I say, damn. I say to myself, damn.
Don't talk to me about Buttercup from the Powerpuff Girls. I mean, for God's sake.
Stop. Now you're for underage cartoon
girls. So 1-800-520-1067. Don't get me started on Hello Kitty while we're talking about it, by the way.
Bestiality now. You're out of the conversation. You're not allowed to chime in.
Your calls when we return right after this at the world-famous K-Rock. Let it die!
Wilma's sexy. Wilma Flintstone? Every time I see that shot, her body drives me crazy. Is it me?
I think, in all probability, Wilma Flintstone is the most desirable woman who ever lived.
This is crazy. Why are we talking about going to bed with Wilma Flintstone?
You're right. We're nuts. This is an insane conversation.
She'll never leave Fred, and we know it.
Well, right. That is true. Yeah. It's 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about KILFs this morning, cartoon characters you'd like to have sex with. But by the way, David from Los Angeles, the VeggieTales naked, really? That's where you want to go with this? The VeggieTales? Come
Maybe
on.
Maybe if you're a girl. You can Mr. Cucumber or something, I could see. Oh. But other than that, no.
Speaking of girls, let's start with Melissa in Whittier, by the way. She's on line 8. We were talking with Gianna, was saying she doesn't know that girls, as much as guys, look at the cartoon characters and think sex. But Melissa apparently does. Good morning. You're on the Kevin Bean, Sean Kerouac. Who are you talking about here?
Good morning. I always had a crush on Wolverine.
Really?
From X-Men, yeah.
Was it the claws?
No, I think it was the whole gruff, feral, sort of tough man outlook.
See, now this is interesting to me because if you were talking about, you know, Hugh Jackman from the movie, that makes total sense to me. But you're talking about pre-Hugh Jackman, just a cartoon.
Yeah, I'm talking about the cartoon, the comic books. Yeah, he always turned me on as a kid.
He wanted to be taken like a wild animal.
Oh, hell yeah. That guy would be just wrecking the sack, I think.
I think Melissa needs some time by herself.
Yeah,
this morning.
She does. She needs a moment. We better let you hang up right now and get your hands free. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jeremy on line 2. He's in Covina on the Kevin DeBean Show. Jeremy, who's your kilf?
Hey, what's up, guys? Definitely Jasmine from Aladdin.
Jasmine from Aladdin. Good choice.
Strong. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Always show the belly.
You know, Disney really sexed up their sort of female leads in the past couple of years. All those broads. Even Ariel, Little Mermaid, if she had a bottom half.
Well, so like most women, she's fish from the waist down.
Line 5 is Nelson from Eagle Rock. This is one that we're already getting a lot of calls for. Nelson, hi, you're on the Kevin DeBean Show. Who's your crush?
Morning, party. What's up, Jessica Nelson? Rabbit.
Yeah.
Jessica Rabbit.
I think she is the quintessential cartoon you'd like to.
Even at the time, I think there were people who were uptight people who were complaining that she was too sexy for a cartoon character. Remember?
But that was the point in the film. She is like the sexiest cartoon character in Toontown. She is just the one who can make men do anything she wants because she's just so dynamic.
Now, would you say she's bad, Ralph?
No, she's just drawn that way.
Yeah, exactly. Mark is in Long Beach, line 4 on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Mark, who are you suggesting?
Morning, Riley. Sailor Moon and the Sailor Scouts.
Dude, she's kind of young, isn't she?
No way, man. There was a Sailor Pluto, but they kicked her out of the group.
See, Sailor Pluto's not a real planet, Bean. That's why she had to go.
How old was Sailor Moon, Ralph? I never saw
that. I think she was
like
12 in the cartoon or something.
Ooh.
Just wearing this little sailor outfit, and she was kind of girly. She was sort of flat and kind of very very little girlish.
All right, well, we're going to have to trace that call and send the authorities.
Oh, look who's talking, Powerpuff Girls.
I'm getting a lot of email on one I don't know. I assume you guys do. The E-Surance girl, pink-haired E-Surance girl. I guess she's in commercials
or
something
like commercial.
That?
She's like the female. It's like an Alias kind of spoof. It's an animated commercial for E-Surance, and she runs around beating up bad guys and stuff like
she
that.
She is getting a lot of votes here this morning. Let's try Crystal on line 1. Go back to the ladies here. Crystal El Monte, good morning. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show. Who's your guy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Crystal.
I had a crush. Actually, not a crush. I wanted to do Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest, really?
Yeah.
He was kind of a wimp.
I was 8 years old.
He was kind of a wimp.
Well, I'm into blonde hair, blue eyes, so.
What about Race Bannon, the man of the house who used to protect Johnny? Now, that's a man.
No.
No, Johnny, huh? Did you want to have a three-way with him and Haji?
Why not?
Haji looked like he knew stuff, too,
didn't
he?
They can do
the
Eiffel Tower.
There you go.
Nice. God reference. Bless you, Crystal.
Crystal's a goer. Outstanding.
Band of the Larry. Dog could watch.
Larry is in West Covina on line 3. Hi, Larry. Who's your cartoon chick?
Hey, good morning, Lisa May. How you doing, Kevin and Bean?
Hi, Larry.
Oh, boy. Ralph, he'd identify with me. I know he loved Batman.
Oh, yeah.
But mine was Catwoman. Ursula Anderson, that black outfit when she'd go,
but she was in a cartoon, though. We're talking about cartoons.
I don't care. I don't care.
Well, in that case, I say Pam Anderson. I mean, if we're not really talking about cartoons.
You're a little off topic, Larry, but I hear you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Greg in Anaheim on line four. Here's one I can't believe nobody said yet. Hi, Greg. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, first off, thanks for a great show every morning.
Thanks, Greg.
And also, Hollywood from Cool World.
Yeah.
It's essentially Kim Basinger, right? You know, like an animated Kim Basinger?
Sort of, yeah. I think she was hotter than Kim Basinger, quite frankly. I was a little disappointed when Hollywood became real. I preferred her in her animated form.
Exactly. Yeah. Great call, Greg. Thank you so much. Theo is in Laverne. Hey, Theo. Here's another one we haven't thought of yet.
92.3 The Beat. This is
no, different Theo. Different Theo. Go ahead, Theo.
Theo?
Hello, yeah, what's up?
Who's your pick for a cartoon character you'd like to, you know?
She-Ra.
Oh, She-Ra. Princess
of Power. Come on, everybody.
Yeah, He-Man's sister. Yeah, she was pretty hot.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Thanks for the call.
Gotta love a woman who dresses in armor.
We got time for a couple more. Alex is in Van Nuys on line 8. Hi, Alex. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who have we missed?
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? How you doing?
Good, Alex. Who do you like?
Oh, well, I've always liked Betty Boop, you know? I mean,
Betty Boop. Her head's too big.
School.
Her head's too big,
you know,
man.
Her voice, ever since that, they did a version of her on that show, Drawn Together, kind of, you know. They could use the original one with the Drawn Together personality. That'd be great.
Yeah, she's kind of a slut on that show.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you for the call. How about John in Riverside? Not a quintessentially sexy Drawn, but a great personality. I see where John's coming from. Who's your pick?
Hey, what's up? I kind of always liked Lois from Family Guy.
You know, John, a lot of guys feel the same way. They got the hots for Lois. I think she'd be great in the bed.
All right. Hey, you guys ever seen Heavy Metal?
Sure, yeah.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, that's where I learned everything from. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of hot bloods on that.
That was a good one. Oh, yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
All right, Diana in Covina, line four. Hi, Diana. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. I'm going to say the original Speed Racer. He was hot.
Speed Racer.
Yeah.
He was kind of a wuss, though, too, don't you think?
No. He was hot in those little pants.
Yeah, but every time he drove in a race, like, oh, I'm going to crash. He was a weenie.
He was bitch made. I agree.
He was a bitch.
Diana, why Speed and not Racer X, though?
Yeah, it's a man, Racer X.
No, but you never saw Racer X face. Speedy was cute.
You know, they're Speed making the live action ones coming out this summer with Emil Hirsch as Speed.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's
do the popcorn trick on herself watching that movie.
Exactly. Let's close with line 8. James is in Mission Hills. Hi, James. You get the final word.
Hey, guys. How about Pocahontas?
Pocahontas.
Oh, yeah.
You mean Pocahontas is what you're trying to
say? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty strong. The only problem is if you sleep with her, you get like a pox or something in your blankets.
But you get free reels at the casino.
And all the corn you can eat.
I've got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Is it a bad sign that beer mug's in the other room, lying on the floor in a fetal position, holding his stomach?
That's not good.
Well,
moaning? Is that a bad sign?
It's kind of what we expected. For folks who didn't hear the 6 o'clock hour this morning, Mug tried to eat 103 peeps, Easter peeps, in 30 minutes and got about half or a little more. And he's regretting it at this point. Not feeling good.
He's literally making that noise, holding his stomach.
Yeah. And he smells like peeps, too. It's coming through every pore in his body.
Should we get him peep pumped? Should we get him to a hospital or something? I'm worried about the kids.
He's gonna take care of the peep pumping on his own here pretty soon, I think.
Oh, sad news. British authorities are investigating the surprise death of Jason Ray, the husband of Grammy-nominated singer Corinne Bailey Ray.
I'm sorry, who, Ralph?
Corinne Bailey Ray.
An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. Wow. Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Let's do it again. Is that what killed him?
I think it was, yes. His name's slaughtered by Kevin time and time again.
Come on!
Apparently, he was a saxophonist in a funk band called the Haggis Horns. And he was found in their apartment in the northern section of... the northern English city of Leeds on Saturday. A 32-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of supplying him with drugs, but was released on bail, officials said. So they're waiting for the toxicology reports to come back to determine the cause of death of Jason Ray, once again the husband of Corinne Bailey Ray. So
that's too bad. He's a young dude.
He was 31 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's bad. Not as bad as hearing Kevin say your name, but still, a tragedy in her life nonetheless.
Corinne Bale-Rea, an unforgettable moment with an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Rea.
Wow.
Corinne Bale-Rea, an unforgettable moment with
Let's do it again.
That is the best. What a sucker Kevin is.
Oh, he does return tomorrow. The magic returns to the Kevin and me and Sean K-Rock.
If you've been watching Dancing with the Stars, you've probably noticed that Priscilla Presley's face doesn't move.
Oh, does she look so bad?
Yeah. Apparently, Priscilla claims she had some botched cosmetic surgery. No. The heck you say? She was seeing a doctor, an Argentinian doctor named Dr. Daniel Serrano. And apparently he would hold injection parties at the homes of various celebrities.
Wait a
second. Easy.
Yes. Yes, Gene Simmons?
I like to hold injection parties myself.
All right, Gene Simmons. Apparently Priscilla Presley had them. Sean King, the wife of Larry King. Lionel Richie's wife at the time, Diana Richie, apparently all had injection parties with Dr. Daniel Serrano. Here's the problem. Dr. Daniel believed that he had a product better than Botox in removing wrinkles and making your skin look smoother. He would use low-grade industrial silicone.
Yay!
This is the stuff that's used to lubricate auto parts.
Dude.
He would inject it into his patients, and it caused, in many cases, paralysis, lumps, and sometimes holes in the faces of some of his patients.
Oh, God.
Does
it start off looking okay and then gradually it starts to look worse and worse and worse?
Yes. And so she's had to have several surgeries to redo the damage done by Dr. Serrano, who was later nicknamed Dr. Jiffy Lube because he used this, I'm not kidding, because he used this silicone.
How do they fix holes in the face? Spackle them shut?
I guess so. He was indicted, by the way, by the feds for smuggling drugs, conspiracy, and use of unapproved drugs. He was convicted, and last week he was released and is currently being investigated by federal immigration officials and could be deported. So now we know the cause behind Priscilla Presley's tragic face.
This is why I go to Argentina for all my medical needs, by the way. Yeah. Stories like this. Hey, I didn't watch, of course, because I'm not gay, but how did Adam do last night? He had to dance again last night, right?
I didn't catch it either. I was busy having pieces of my skin hacked off all day, so okay. I didn't get around to it.
Wow. From the same Argentinian doctor?
I believe it was. I believe Dr. Serrano was working on me yesterday. I was in the office from 7 o'clock in the morning till late in the afternoon.
Really?
The entire day.
Facelift again, right?
No, it was a little skin cancer. So if I can give you one piece of advice, wear sunscreen would be it, pretty much.
Good advice.
Now here's the thing, that they have this process where they take the skin cancer off layer by layer. They skin you.
Ugh.
And then they have to take that layer of skin and they have to take it to the lab and they have to test it to see if they got all the cancer cells or not, whether you have what they call clean margins in the area. And so that takes an hour and a half every time they send a sample down to the lab. So you go through and they scrape some of your skin off, and then they go to the lab. And then they repeat the process until you're free and clear.
100% exactly identical to the surgery that my pig Godzilla had earlier this year. Ralph, exact same thing.
Well, I'm glad to know pig and I have something in common.
Scrape it, test it, go back, scrape some more until you get the clear margins.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they had such a divot in my chest by the time they were done that they end up having to cut me and sew me up anyway. The thing they were trying to avoid by doing this particular procedure.
Oh, I see. So now I'm going to have
a bitchin' scar on my chest.
Yeah,
now.
You look
I'm
tough.
Like a badass mother effer.
Gianna, how many years has it been since you've had a clean margin?
Oh, stop it.
Stop.
I don't even know what that means, yet it sounds filthy coming out of your mouth.
He was riding dirty.
Oh, come on, stop Mike. It. And lastly, Kevin Federline was in Vegas this weekend to celebrate his 30th birthday. He was at Pure Nightclub at Caesars Palace Hotel and Casino. And reportedly, the hotel paid him $300,000 to host his own birthday party at the nightclub.
I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
These pseudo-celebrities make a lot of money by hosting these parties at these clubs in Vegas.
What a douche. Is he still chubby?
He looked, I saw him,
They had footage of him at the party. He was wearing a suit, so it was hard to tell whether he had that enormous gut that he was displaying on the golf course the other day. So I can't really tell. But he didn't look as fat as he did in that photograph.
What a douche.
Here's the thing. Federline proceeded to get loaded on Jack Daniels.
Sure.
And around midnight, he grabbed the mic away from the DJ and started to scream at the crowd in a profanity-laced speech. Eventually, his friends had to pull him away, but the crowd started to boo him off the stage.
At his own party.
K-Fed at his 30th birthday party, being booed off the stage. Here's some audio from TMZ.
I'm trying to
K-Fed getting
good.
Booed off the stage at his own party.
What a douche.
What a sucker Kevin is.
You can go to TMZ.com if you want to see the video of that speech. He's quite inebriated and quite popular with the crowd, apparently.
I am sick of Negroes who just do not get it.
Not really black.
Kevin's white. Kevin Federline is white. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Paul Michael Glazer. He was Starsky in the original Starsky and Hutch back in the day, 65 years old today.
What's he doing now, Ralph? Is he directing or anything?
He's a director-producer. Yeah, pretty successful, too.
Yeah.
One of his feature films that he directed was a movie called Kazam.
The Shaq movie?
With Shaquille O'Neal, playing a magic genie.
Yeah. How about that?
He also does a lot of charity work because his... wife, Elizabeth Glazer, started the Pediatric AIDS Foundation that has done so much good
for
many people. So he's very busy with that. Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives is 46 years old today. She is pale, but she's got that redhead pale thing going on, which I think can be hot.
And
she's
a rocking body. Yeah. I don't know if anybody knows that.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's spectacular.
Oh, my gosh.
Sarah Jessica Parker is 43 years old today.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Geez, Sarah, I hate to tell you, but yeah, pretty much.
Giddy up.
That's a shame. Here she got upset because some men's magazine, I think it was Maxim,
yeah.
Called her the least sexy woman in the world.
There are uglier girls.
Yeah, but she might be least sexiest. I don't know. There may be girls who are more ugly, but she lacks sex the most.
It's like a comic. There's plenty of unfunny people out there, but there's people who think they're funny that aren't are worse. And she kind of gives off the vibe that she thinks she's sexy, and that makes it all that much worse.
I think you're right.
I think L.A. Story, the Steve Martin movie, she was sexy. That was the last day she was sexy.
She was cute in that. And her personality and boobs should, you know, carry her.
Right, but that was her peak, though.
Yeah.
She went way downhill way fast after that.
I think square pegs might have been her peak.
Yeah.
Oh, square pegs.
Glasses and braces, she might have been rocking, you know, the best look.
I drink your milkshake.
All right, thank you so much. And lastly, Catherine McPhee, certainly not least, however. She'll always be our American Idol. I don't care if she lost to that old dude. She is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's the great Pennywise for you on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. They were here performing that song live for us Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. They also did Broham. And both of those are going to be up at the AT&T Blue Room here very soon. You'll get a chance to see that in their archival section. It's a very cool performance that they did. It's a Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Earlier today, we gave away the 106.7 free songs on iTunes that we do every Tuesday. And this is a fantastic day if you're a fan of the K-Rock music, because Pennywise, not only available for free through their MySpace page, also available in stores today. The new album is called Reason to Believe. That's, of course, the Western world. Another song on the album is called One Reason. Michael, I think you'll agree with me that Pennywise has found a sound that works, and sometimes nothing else will do as a substitute. You got to just have the Pennywise.
There's a lot of bands that try to develop and grow and do different things as they go on. Some bands can just stick to their guns and do the same thing, and it works, and Pennywise is one of those bands. They just have a sound, and you want it every album.
They were great album one. They're still great 20 years later. Here's another track from Reason to Believe, a little bit of something called Something to Live For.
And you can also tell when you hear a Pennywise song how great it will be in concert. They're one of those bands, their songs really translate well to the stage, and that's another reason why they've been around so long. Another great K-Rock band back with a new album. In fact, the guys will be here in less than an hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Panic at the Disco is back. No more exclamation point in their name, but the CD is called Pretty, period, Odd, period. You've been hearing 9 in the afternoon here on K-Rock. When it's 9 in the afternoon. I like these guys a lot. Another song from the new one is called That Green Gentleman on K-Rock. Things have changed for me. That's okay. I feel the same. I'm on my way. And I say it's New Music Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the new Panic at the Disco out everywhere today and available for download. This one's called When the Day Met the Night. In the middle of summer. By the way, for the old school K-Rock fans, new B-52's album in stores today as well as a new Counting Crows. So there's a little something for everybody today. But the one that everybody is excited about, the one that came out of nowhere, the one that we didn't even know existed a month ago because the album wasn't even done yet, is the Rockin' Tours, which is, of course, Jack White's other band besides the White Stripes. They are back with a brand new record that was just done the first week of March. It's available everywhere today. It's called Consolers of the Lonely. And this is the sort of title track, Consoler of the Lonely. Here's Rockin' Tours. Conversation's getting dull. There's a constant ringing in my ears. Sense of humor's void. You know, it's funny, back in the old days, it would not be uncommon for a band to go into the studio and record a record and then take it down to a radio station and put it on the air 2 days later. They don't do it that way anymore. Most of the big bands and the big labels, they set up for a year with press and interviews and photo shoots and everything. And Jack White has said in his press release, I just wanted to get away from all of that. I just want to finish the record. And as soon as it was done, I wanted to get it out to the fans as fast as possible. And that's why the new Rockin' Tours is available today. This one's called You Don't Understand Me. And the last clip from the new Rockin' Tours we played earlier for you this morning. The first single is called Salute Your Solution. Salute your solution, I salute your solution. I found myself just looking well beyond my best intentions. Ignoring any kind of prize I might receive at all. While I only seem to find a lot of self-satisfaction. I find a ridicule that isn't cool for me at all. You will hear that song in its entirety coming up later this hour. And all of those songs are available through iTunes. You can get to that, our store at krock.com. Speaking of music, I love this Blender magazine. Rob Tannenbaum is on the line right now. He is the editor of music editor for Blender. Rob, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Thanks, Bean. I understand it's not the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Yeah, Kevin's out for a couple days. He'll be back tomorrow. He's going to be sorry to miss this conversation because he, like me, loves the stories of enormous disasters, people who invest lots of time, millions of dollars, and have nothing to show for it. There's something so satisfying about watching other people screw up that big.
Well, you know, the shipping industry had only one Titanic. The music industry seems to have four or five a year, which is what makes it so entertaining.
It is kind of, I mean, you have to expect that stories like this are going to happen because there are thousands of stories. There's thousands of bands, and most of them don't make it, and a lot of people will bet on the wrong horse. And I guess history is littered with those. And what you've done for the new Blender is you put together what you call the 20 biggest record company screw-ups of all time. And I want to ask you about a couple of them, if you wouldn't mind sharing the stories with our listeners today.
Yeah, sure. I want to say it's the April issue on newsstands now with Taylor Swift on the cover. Oh. Promotional plug over.
By the way, speaking of Taylor Swift, somebody was smart enough to look at that kid when they signed her at, what, 14 or 15 or something like that, and she's a multi-platinum star. I mean, a lot of people would have bet against that happening.
I think actually she was signed right out of the womb, which is really remarkable.
All right, let me ask you about one of my favorite bands of all time, and I just saw them again a couple of weeks ago on Saturday Night Live. They were awesome, as they always are, and that's Wilco. How did they make your top 20 list, Rob?
Well, it's not so much the Wilco making it as Warner Brothers making it for what they did to Wilco. In 2001, Wilco turned in a new album, which was Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, and the label said, "Nah, I don't think so." They thought that the album would actually kill Wilco's career, and so Warner Brothers dropped the band. It gave them back the rights to the recording. And then Wilco went and signed to Nonesuch, which is a division of Warner Brothers. So, you know, if you're wondering why your AOL Time Warner stock is now selling about $4, it's because the geniuses at Warner Brothers paid twice for Wilco to release an album.
So they drop them from the label, sign them to a subsidiary label, then the band puts the album out, which they've been paid twice for, and it is a big – their bestseller, right? And in – I mean, some critics had it in their top 10 albums of the year that year that came
out. It's a terrific record, and as you said, it was their best-selling record. But, you know, and on the scale of things, the Wilco story, it's only about a label losing $300,000. You know, that isn't much. And when you look through the blunder list of the 20 stupidest music business blunders, really what you realize is record companies throw away $300,000 seemingly before lunch.
Yeah,
it's, you know, that's a small amount of money. You look at the money MCA wasted on Pretty Boy Floyd. Pretty Boy Floyd. You don't remember the great Pretty Boy Floyd?
How much did they spend for me to now not remember them?
They were signed by MCA for $1 million. They were an L.A. Sunset Strip hair metal band who at the time had only played 8 shows. And they got $1 million from MCA. This was right about 1991. Sorry, it was 89. So hair metal was pretty much petering out at that point. I mean, it had reached its peak. You know, it's sort of the equivalent of buying Bear Stearns stock at 200 and watching it plummet all the way down.
So they gave him the money, made a record, and it just sold zero. No one was interested in it.
It sold very few copies. However, it doesn't hold the record for fewest number of copies sold by an artist signed for a huge amount of money. And if you want to hear that story, I can tell you that one.
Yeah, who's that? That sounds interesting.
I'm looking at the magazine right now, and I have to try and find. Okay, so here it is. Same label, MCA, signs a teenage singer named Carly Hennessy. And she had been a Denny's sausage spokesmodel, which, of course, what better training for being a music star than
meaning that her picture is the one on the menu for Denny's when you walk in holding a plate of sausage?
I confess I haven't been to a Denny's in a while, but I think she's no longer their spokesperson. her career ended in such ignominy, and so they ended up giving her about $2.2 million to make a record in 2001. In the first 3 months that this record was in stores, it sold 378 copies.
Wow, those are Kevin Federline-like numbers.
we figured it out. That's almost $6,000 per album. You know, you have dudes listening to your show right now who are still living in their parents' basement, and they've sold more than 378 copies of their record. And they're probably thinking, like, hey, where's my $2.2 million?
No kidding. Now, what's fascinating about Carly Hennessy, by the way, is what she's doing today, is the fact that you can see her on your TV tonight with her new married name as a contestant on American Idol. I mean, here's someone who's already been through that side of the industry and come out the other side back to zero, and now she's going for it again.
You know, if I had $2.2 million under my mattress, I don't think I'd waste my time on Idol. I'd be on a beach somewhere.
Well, I suspect she thinks she's going to get a little better help this time around. She's going to have people who maybe know more what they're doing than they did last time around, I guess.
Or maybe she thinks, hey, I still suck, but last time I sucked and got $2.2 million out of it.
That's a good point.
Let's try it again.
Rob Tannenbaum is on the line. He's the Blender music editor. We're talking about their April issue featuring the 20 biggest record company scripts of all time. Let me ask you about a couple other ones real quick, Rob.
Yep.
How does a label like Columbia, who, let's face it, has a long history of great talent searches and great artists on their label, how do they get an artist like Alicia Keys, who a blind guy can see how talented she is. I mean, she's beautiful. She writes her own songs. She's got a great singer. She's a fantastic musician. How do they pump so much money into her and then decide she's not worth it and then let her go and go off to sell millions and millions of records with another label?
Well, that's a real good question, and I certainly hope somebody got fired over this. Columbia at one point had signed Alicia Keys. They gave her $400,000. You know, again, the amount of money is astronomical. Columbia's mistake was that they wanted to turn Alicia Keys into Whitney Houston, and that just wasn't working out. And they saw no future for her, so they dropped her. Columbia also dropped 50 Cent. They had 50 Cent signed at one point.
Wow.
And let him go. And he went to Interscope and made, you know, an effing fortune for the people over there. You know, you read these stories, and believe me, it was hard for us at Blender to have only 20. I mean, we could have had hundreds of these.
Sure.
Because you keep hearing these stories, and you think the music business is run by people who are not smarter than a fifth grader.
Now, I don't know if it's on your list or not. I'm scrolling here, and I don't see it. But I'm sure you guys talked about, wasn't Mariah Carey one of the artists who was considered down and out? They gave her millions and millions of dollars to go away. She went and signed with another label, had the biggest album of the year, and is back bigger than ever, right?
That's true. We didn't put that on the list because we felt like we'd covered that so much, and that story was so well known. But, yeah, Virgin gave her, I think, $40 million to go away. Just to end her recording contract because they thought her career was over.
All right, let me ask you one more, and that is Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
How do you go if you're Guns N' Roses? How do you get the label to continue to fund this legendary, mythic Chinese Democracy album that will probably never come out as it gets into the second decade of waiting for it? How do you keep getting them to pony up? I mean, how many copies would that record have to sell to make any money for the label that ends up releasing it?
You know, I'm Jewish, and the Jews have been waiting for their Messiah longer than Geffen has been waiting for Chinese Democracy. I think it works like this: if you're at Geffen, if you're an executive, you want to be the guy who finally gets Axel to turn in Chinese Democracy. And also, at a certain point, what's the big deal in giving him another $500,000? You know, we reported that Geffen has already sunk $13 million into the recording of Chinese Democracy. So where do you draw the line? You know, how do you say you can have $13 million, but you can't have $13.2 million?
I guess you don't want to also be the guy at the label who says, that's it, I'm stopping it here, and then he goes and sells it to somebody else, and it sells 10 million copies. I mean, I guess that's the big fear, is that you'd rather be covered than give it away.
Probably the best thing that could happen would be Axel would go and sign with Columbia. Columbia would drop him because they don't hear any future, and then somebody else would pick him up. It's hard to see at this point how Interscope is ever going to recoup their $13 million. But there's sort of a moral here, Bean, and the moral is record companies don't know when to stop spending money.
I think you're right about that, and that may be one of the reasons why we have so few record companies left today. It probably won't be possible to write this article in another 5 years because there won't be such thing as a record label to invest money in artists like this.
Well, no. In 5 years, we'll all have digital signals emanating from our forebrains, and we'll just beam stories like this to one another.
Well, we just scratched the surface. It's a great article, and Blender's great. I read it every month. The April issue with Taylor Swift on the cover is the one you want to look for, and the article is called "The 20 Biggest Record Company Scripts of All Time." Rob Tenenbaum, thanks for joining us on K-Rock this morning. We enjoyed
it.
How about the Kevin and Bean Afro line on the air for you right now at 323-520-AFRO. Mike, this first call is for you, my friend.
Nice.
Hey, Mikey. Thanks so much for the great time last night. Oh, and my boyfriend wanted to know if he wanted to do it again. Love ya.
It's ridiculous. I mean,
why don't you just give him your cell phone or something? Why do you have to use the Afro line as your gay meeting place, Mike?
That was a joke. No one's...
I'm not sure what this guy in specific heard about, but sometimes people call in and complain. They don't give us any context, so you try to figure this out.
That segment, yeah, it made my butthole weep. All right, thanks a lot.
Could have been any number of things, I'm not sure. A few days ago, we were talking on the show about Barack Obama, about Reverend Wright. We had some of our black listeners on, giving perspective from their point of view. And I think this listener was pleased with the conversation.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May, Ron Harmon.
just want to say you guys are doing an awesome job. Have some more black people on the show. That was pretty cool. Keep rocking on, dudes.
All right. Good advice. I'm going to tell Rod Harmon when he comes in. We've got to get some more black people on the show. Here's somebody calling about Dave, the King of Mexico's favorite show, Jericho.
Hey, Dave, guess what? Jericho got canceled. Ha-ha, sick on that. Jericho sucks.
Here's Dave calling with his own complaint about the Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. It's Dave, the King of Mexico, and I got a message for all the listeners. Stop calling about the spoon quote, or I will kill you.
Yeah, the quote, what are you going to do, spoon me to death? We finally got an answer. Maybe not an answer that'll satisfy everybody, but we did finally get an answer, and it is up on the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com if you want to check it out and see what we came up with. This next Afro caller did not really receive Dave's message about not calling in, though.
Hey, I isolated that, what are you going to do, spoon me to death clip from Corey Confidential. What are you going to do, spoon me to death?
I'd like to see that episode, I think. As you know, Johnny Grant recently died. He was the unofficial mayor of Hollywood. We've decided that Ralph needs to replace him because he'd be awesome at that job. And I think this listener, I think, has given Ralph his support.
Hey, you know what? I think Ralph would make a great mayor for Hollywood and the Walk of Fame and all that stuff. It'd be awesome. That other Grant douchebag that used to be all so nice and everything, and then everything's happy-go-lucky, and great. Ralph would be like the exact opposite. He'd be Mr. Aggro, mean, ranting Ralph about someone who's getting a star, but he hates their movies, or he hates their music. Oh, he'd go off on them. That would be awesome. No one would be better than Ralph. You got my vote, bro. Aggro boy.
I don't know if we're going to be allowed to vote for it, but I would so give Ralph that job. Can you imagine the day he has to give Larry the Cable Guy his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? It would just be the best. And finally, I told a story last week about how I upset an 80-something-year-old woman down at the blood bank when she asked if I wanted something hot. And I said, she meant to drink. I said, just you, Marge. And she was really, really offended. And I took a lot of heat for apparently saying something inappropriate to an elderly woman. And I think that's what this Afro caller is about.
Hello, Mr. Baxter. This is Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC. I'm starting a new series to catch a geriatric predator. I have a question for you, Mr. Baxter. Do you think it's appropriate to say things like, hey, hottie, I have more blood that you could take. Oh, no? You don't believe me? We have these transcripts from screen name I12-69A69. Oh, no, you're free to leave. Just walk out that front door.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now for a Tuesday morning on KROQ-FM Pasadena, Los Angeles. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, you know, the CW has been hurting for viewers.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, they've got a few hits, some long-lasting like Smallville. Reaper's doing okay, but is on the bubble. And Gossip Girl has a hardcore fan base. Dave King, Mexico.
Oh, I love it.
And they're trying to get more eyes on that show. So TV Guide has revealed that the CW has leaked that the fact is when the show returns on April the 21st, one of the main male characters will turn out to be gay.
Yay!
They're not saying who, of course. They want people to tune in and find out. But everyone's speculating on who their favorite guy from Gossip Girl will end up digging the fellas.
I know Dave had a theory. I don't watch the show, so
I don't either.
Couldn't speak to his character.
I think
but
he's the British guy.
Chest Rockwell.
Well, they talk all like they're gay anyway in Britland. So right. I don't know. I think it's going to be him. That's what Dave was saying.
British people.
Oh, they're polite, and the men all sound gay, but they will rip out your heart.
It's true. Sad news from England, Leeds to be specific, a city in the north of England. Apparently the husband of Grammy-nominated singer Corinne Bailey Rae has been found dead this weekend.
Oh.
They are doing toxicology reports to determine the cause of death of Jason Rae, a saxophonist who plays with a funk band called the Haggis Horns. He was 31 years old. They have arrested a man on suspicion of supplying him with illegal drugs, but that gentleman was released on bail. However, the authorities continue to look into his death.
I'm sorry, Kevin. Whose husband was it? Corinne Bailey Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Rae. Wow. Corinne Bailey Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. Let's do it again.
He's the best. I miss him so much. Look for Kim Kardashian to be one of the leading candidates to star in a TV movie made about the life of Ashley Dupree.
Glendale!
You know her better as Kristen, of course, the whore that was a regular of the former governor of New York, Elliot Spitzer.
Doesn't Kim have way too much ass to play that skinny white girl?
Yes.
And
yes,
way too little fupa.
Not enough fupa, according to Psycho Mike. Kim has been in conversations with the producers about starring in the movie. However, she says she needs to see a script first. She says, I know Julia Roberts was in Pretty Woman regarding the prostitute character. And she played an Ashley Dupree type. I don't know. I'll have to read the script and see who's in it. It can't be some cheesy TV movie. Because when you've done television work the caliber of Meet the Kardashians, you can't lower your standards going from a reality show about how great Bruce Jenner is to his daughters to some cheesy television movie. You can't take a step down like that in quality when you're an artiste.
No, she's ready for the Helen Mirren roles, clearly, Ralph.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Look at her butt.
Dame Kim Kardashian, we call her. Yes.
I don't know. The video she made with Ray J, the dialogue was excellent.
Oh, she really showed her chops.
Oh, Ray J.
You guys are so mean.
They're calling them the chops these days, aren't they?
Sure.
Yeah.
She deserves better, Gianna. Is that what you're suggesting?
No,
you're being mean to her?
I think she's an attractive girl. I agree with you, though. I mean, she shouldn't have her pick.
She's hardly paid her dues to complain about the caliber of the scripts that are coming her way. Look, she'd be lucky to get on the Hills.
Dean, you don't know. You don't know about the tireless hours she put in at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts there in London. You don't know about
the
Shakespeare she's played. Her Lady Macbeth is still being discussed in the West End, I'll have you know.
Summer Stock. I mean, it's amazing.
She's just the craft.
The resume.
She has honed. You have no idea, Bean. And
you can never let it show on your face.
Well, that's right. Oh! That is true.
Always have a towel nearby. And speaking of chopped, Fox has canceled the sitcom The Return of Jezebel James.
I didn't know that was on, but I am sad to hear it go.
That was the comedy starring Parker Posey, who was a fave around here in the Kevin.
Oh, yeah. I love her.
And Ambrose Pierce.
That's right.
Ambrose.
What's her name?
Lauren Ambrose.
Lauren Ambrose, yes, from 6 Feet Under. Last Friday's show pulled in a 1.4 share in ratings.
Yeah, that didn't have a chance.
No. I think we did better than that last Friday.
I think
ratings were actually bigger than Jezebel James last Friday.
You're right, because we had Pennywise yet, so we probably smoked them.
Yeah. Jezebel James sounds like a porn star, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's an excellent porn name.
It really is.
It's a terrible title for a show, though, if it's not about a porn star.
Fox says it will air repeats of Bones in its place. Bones, also an excellent name for a porn star.
Oh, yeah.
If you have to be a fella, especially.
Gianna, do you have a porn name? We all have porn names on the show. Do you have one?
I don't. I would like one.
I'm the Destroyer. I don't know about you.
You're the Paralyzer.
You're the Paralyzer.
God, paralyzer. Change it up.
God.
I'll have to think of one.
Kevin's the Incredible Bulk. I'm Dr. Frankenstein.
What if you have? Do you have one?
I haven't crafted myself a porn name yet.
All right, tomorrow we'll compare porn names, and maybe I'll try to get mine right.
Yeah. I think Gianna should be Gag Order.
Gag Order?
Yeah,
that's
Gag
boring.
Orders.
Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't even sound like a name, by the way.
All right. Well, then maybe that's a title that she starred in.
It's the name of one of her films?
Yeah, Gag Order.
Right, we'll have something for you tomorrow.
Okay. Suter, I hardly even know her.
Oh!
There's got to be something in there, Gianna Suter. There's got to be something we can come up with. Huh?
Get creative.
We will. We'll think about it and get back to you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Marsha Cross. You know her on Desperate Housewives as Bree. Also in that Tasty Cheese. She is 46 years old today. Actress Sarah Jessica Parker is 43 years old today.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, SJP.
Giddy up.
No, she's all upset because Maxim said she was the unsexiest woman in Hollywood. She wasn't so upset for herself. She was concerned that it would reflect poorly on her husband, Matthew Broderick. She said, what does this say about his taste if they say that about me?
It's true.
And I say, look in a mirror, Matthew Broderick. Take a good, long, hard look.
Ferris Bueller, man. He could get anyone he wanted.
Yeah. And singer Catherine McPhee. Around here we know her as Kat. She's been on the show a bunch of times. We love her. She's adorable.
Nice melons.
And she's not unattractive. That's for sure. Yes. Okay. All right.
She's kind of the anti Sarah Jessica Parker. Really.
She is. She's 24 years old
she's
today.
Gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do I hear some singing along? Was somebody singing along in there, or is that my imagination?
That was Brendan singing along. He always
that's
sings
what I thought.
I love.
Ladies and gentlemen. What about Me Too? What about Panic at the Disco here at the World Famous K-Rock? Yeah. What about our man Brendan, our man John are here from the band Big Day for Them, new album out in stores and available for download today called Pretty Period Odd Period. I like you guys because you have fun with punctuation. That's one of the things I like about you.
Thank you.
So what's it been like between – I mean everything has changed from the feeling you must have had as the first album came out to the feeling that this album is coming out. I mean now people know who you are and they care and there's expectations and you're set up to fail. Am I right?
maybe. We could be. But yeah, I guess it's just a little different. You know, we're 3-4 years older and you know, going through some different stuff. So definitely translates through the music hopefully and people get that across. It's a little more positive this time around.
Yeah, I would imagine. I imagine that, you know, especially for as long as you guys, you know, as much as you guys toured and played and everything like that, you must have just been so jonesing to make new music, to get back in there and kind of take the skills that you'd learned and the new ideas that you'd come across and try to figure out a way to put them in the new record.
Yeah, it was pretty tough playing the same songs for 2.5 years. But, yeah, we're really happy with the way things turned out. We were, you know, we were all just in a pretty good place getting off a tour and it's been fun.
Do you see a huge difference in your songwriting in terms of things that you're trying that maybe you wouldn't have been able to try first time around? Is it did you learn a lot of tricks, for instance, a lot of things you learned how to do that now you can use?
Sure. Yeah. We've definitely all grown as musicians, and I think that helped on this record. We were able to play instruments and parts that we would have never thought of on the first record, so that's good. And hopefully, you know, that continues to improve on the next album as well. And that's kind of the whole point of this band. We've always just tried to do the best that we could and have it be fun.
Have you looked at any of the reviews, any of the early takes on the album?
Some of them, and then I just
because I'm seeing Beatlesque. I'm seeing the words Beatlesque some people are using as they're talking about kind of where you're headed songwriting style.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird comparison, but you know it makes sense, I guess, just because you know some of our songs do have trumpets in them, and a lot of Beatles songs have trumpets in them, and you know some of our songs have strings, and Beatles songs have strings in them as well, and so I guess there are like a few similarities, but we were listening to a lot of different bands this time around, you know, bands like Tom Petty and The Band and Creedence Clearwater and stuff like that, so you know we had a lot of different influence to pull from, so it was a lot more eclectic.
You can't go wrong when you're starting from that point. You know,
if
you're aspiring to be like those guys, you know, it can only work out well for you.
Yeah.
What are some of the because you were on the road for so long and you have so many rabid fans and you played so many different kinds of venues around the world since you know since it all began? Are there any things that stand out as moments where you went, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe our band is doing this. Did you have some stuff like that?
That happens a lot sometimes.
Yeah, it happens a lot. It's really gradual. It's, you know, it's even this morning, it doesn't feel like our record's coming out today. And it kind of just happens. You know, maybe a month from now, I'll be like, whoa, our record's out. Can't believe that.
Yeah.
I would imagine those moments would I mean, you know, the first time you find yourself on MTV and you realize, okay, people all over the world are watching me right now on television. I mean, stuff like that. The first time you're playing a, you know, a bizarre gig in a room that you've always heard about but have never been to. I mean, I imagine there are a lot of those kind of moments. The first time you know, realize you've sold a million records. I mean, sure. I guess that's part of the fun of it is kind of seeing where it's going to go because you really don't know day to day what's going
to
happen.
Exactly. Yeah. For us, it's pretty much we're just guessing and trying to make the best guess possible every day. So
guesstimations.
Guesstimations. Exactly. So yeah, every day's new and we're not really sure what to expect. So it's very exciting.
Well, I'll tell you what you can expect today because today you have a brutal schedule. You're here first thing in the morning at K-Rock.
Yes,
you've got
sir.
The AT&T Blue Room show, which is going to be at 4:00 West Coast time this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometime around, I imagine, 8 or 8:30, you're going to be performing on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, which we'll see just after midnight tonight.
Right.
You got that. Of course,
yes.
Today's day one of the album. I know you're going to be, you know, keeping track of how that goes. Let's talk about Pretty Period Odd Period for a second. Does the title mean anything?
I guess it's pretty self-explanatory. We just thought that those were the two best adjectives to use for the record.
This kind of describes the last couple of years and describes how the record sounds, describes what Brendan's shirt looks like right now.
Pretty and odd?
And odd.
The song we've been playing a lot here on K-Rock is called 9 in the Afternoon. Here's a clip of that. When it's 9 in the afternoon.
Well, who is that?
How did that end up on the Heroes soundtrack as well as your record?
Luckily, the people at NBC and Heroes wanted us to put that along with their listing. So we showed them that song before we actually recorded it. We had demoed it, and they said, yeah, we like it, so we'll throw it on there. And, you know, we were very fortunate enough to do that. So
yeah, that was the first song we recorded for the album. We went in the studio, and the second day we were in there, that song was already done.
Now, is that cool for you because of the exposure of an album in a show like that, or are you actually fans of Heroes as well?
I was until I stopped watching TV, but yeah. I used to watch Heroes all the time.
What kind of a communist are you that you walk away from television, dude? What's that about? Just
it's
no time?
It's hard to keep up, yeah. Box sets are so much more.
Tila Tequila isn't really my thing, so I just there's not much going on for me. There's a lot of crap.
We talk to a lot of bands in here at K-Rock, of course, and they all say it's when the box set comes out. That's the only time you can sit down with a show is when you're on the bus or you're traveling or something like that. You can watch it on your, IV. It's what?
Bullshoot.
Okay. It's so 20th century. Panic at the Disco is what we're talking about. New record available today. Here's a slice of another track called That Green Gentleman. Things have changed.
Yeah.
Things have changed for me. That's okay. I'm on my way. And
you just recently filmed the video for that, and I understand we did a contest here at K-Rock where one of our listeners got the opportunity to be in the video. Do you remember him or her or anything that they did in it?
Yes.
There was a few people.
We had a few people, yeah. There were a large group of people, and they were all in the magic show that we shot of a magician messing up all his tricks. And they were in the crowd, and some of them were used as extras. And they were very, very talented. They went along with it very well.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that
it was great.
Like fun.
It was great.
I think people are always so surprised how much work those music videos are once they finally get down there. They think you do them in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
They take like 2 weeks of doing the same thing
exactly.
Over and over
definitely
again, right?
Definitely 16-hour days for like 3 days, you know.
Here's one more from Pretty Odd. This is When the Day Met the Night.
In the middle of summer.
Panic at the Disco, available everywhere today. The website is panicatthedisco.com. Now, you got Saturday Night Live on April 5th. That's going to be with host Christopher Walken. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
and
more
then you're, yeah, more cowbell. I know you'll be adding cowbell that night. And then you guys are doing the Honda Civic Tour this year, too, it looks like.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
June 14th with Motion City Soundtrack, Phantom Planet, and the Hush Sound. That's at the Honda Center. You can get your tickets through Ticketmaster. Congratulations on the new record, guys. I'm sure we'll be
seeing you
again, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a bunch of new Panic over the, as this album spools out over the next year or so. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot of those songs.
Yeah.
Great to see you again. Thanks for stopping by, K-Rock. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
LaQuisha on the line. LaQuisha, how you been, girlfriend?
I am great, Kevin and Bean. How y'all doing?
Well, we're fine. I got to tell you, I'm not watching That's Amore, and it sounds like, I know, it sounds like I'm missing the greatest reality show in history.
Did you not watch The Sopranos? Did you not watch 60 Minutes? Did you not watch any other legendary television programs of great or equal quality?
You're telling me this is essential viewing, it sounds like.
Absolutely. This is the reason television was invented, was for a show like That's Amore, starring Dominic from The Tequila Show. Give me one more shot, baby, or something.
Right. Now, isn't this just another show where drunken people pretend that they're looking for true love and go through embarrassing and humiliating exercises to prove they're worthy?
Oh, was NYPD Blue just another cop show? Was Lost just another people lost on an island trying to get off with crazy smoke monster show?
Okay, all right. Convince me that I should be watching the show. What happened this week?
Well, you missed so much. Now, they started with 15 girls. Now they're down to 5. And now Domenico is really having a hard time finding the girl that's going to be his true love.
Now there are 5 girls left. 5 girls ready to fight for my love. And every day it's getting harder and harder and harder because I'm connecting with all of them.
Yes, it's getting harder and harder.
Sure.
I don't know what "ada" means, but it must be Italian for difficult. I guess.
Could be.
You need to know a little backstory, Bean, because you're not watching so much. Christina is a white trash whore from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And she don't get along so good with some of the other girls in the house. Especially Taylor, who's a model, who's very pretty and blonde, and Kathleen, another pretty blonde, who is a self-professed virgin. And these girls are not getting along at the house, and Christina just keeps pushing it.
I don't give a f- what you guys think about me.
Stay out there.
What do you think I'm going to stay here?
Why are you getting so emotional?
I'm not emotional.
You're yelling.
Because I'm not going to let you sit in here and talk about me.
Christina, she's a bitch. Everyone hates her. No one wants her here.
That's Amore, bitch.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's Amore, bitch.
This is not a show for a virgin to go on, by the way. Isn't that all they do on this show is mac?
They do, but and she does some macking herself, but she draws the line because she's saving herself for true love. Now, the rest of the girls, they're still fighting for Domenico, but they have realized they need to get a little upper hand. And Ashley, the redneck cowboy guy from Shot in Love with Tila Tequila, is also hanging out with Domenico, acting as sort of his assistant. Now, he's not able to live in the mansion where they all are. They put him in a trailer down at the end of the driveway. That's where he gets to live. Okay. So the girls decide to get them more on their side, they should spend some time with Ashley. So they go walking down the driveway to hang out with Ashley in his double-wide trailer.
Damn. I definitely think that it is important to hang out with Ashley.
That stinks like shit.
Ashley, your place smells like poop.
Mi casa, you casa.
Mi casa, you casa. Me poop smell, your poop smell is what he's saying.
He is smart and bilingual, it sounds like. So they're sucking up to the number two, figuring he's got Dominic's ear.
Exactly. And everything's going along fine until Domenico decides that he's going to invite everybody's parents to come stop by the house. You know, all these love shows, they got a moment where the parents have to get involved.
Sure.
So there's five girls left, and he invites the parents to come. And it starts out okay, although Kathleen, the virgin's dad, he thinks Domenico is not only Italian, but also deaf, because he starts talking to him the way people do when they're not sure if you understand the language or not. Like, I am glad to meet you.
Hi, I'm Paul Flagler, Kathleen's dad.
Mr. Paul is talking slow, not because he is slow.
This is your mom, Kathy.
But because probably he thinks that I don't understand the language.
It was very nice meeting you.
It was nice to meet you.
Right, he can hear fine.
And things get bad, however, when Christina's mom shows up. Now, Christina, as I mentioned, is white trash from Pittsburgh. And you wonder how far the apple has fallen from the tree. Wait no longer till you meet Christina's mom, who, just to let you know what kind of woman she is, they keep a running total of how many times she asks for Jaeger bombs while she's living at the mansion.
Right.
She loves her some Jägermeister.
Jägerbomb.
Christina's family is really fun. And a little bit up too.
Jägerbomb.
Yeah, all right. That's like 10 times she's asked for it there. Now, the whole group of them, the girls and their families, they have a challenge to perform, and they walk into a room that is filled with cannolis. You know what cannolis are?
Sure,
Those pastries with the cream filling inside? That is a part of their challenge, and Christina's mom can only think about one thing.
Is this for our Jägerbombs?
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, of course.
Oh, dear sweet
Jesus.
What a
delicate little flower she is.
But Domenico explains what the challenge is that all the families have to perform.
So to decide which family is going to date a special date with me, we're going to play a game of sucking cannoli and spit.
What the families have to do is suck all the cream out of the cannoli and then spit it into a large glass bowl in front of them.
This makes you yearn for the glory days of riding a bicycle with a pizza on your head.
When the other families suck all the cream out of the cannoli and then spit it out into the bowl, whoever spits the most cream out gets a special disco.
Come on, LaQuisha. Come on, they didn't do that on television. That's not the game. You're making that up to see what you can pull off. Come on.
I swear to you, the family that spits out... It spits out the most cream. Get the special disco date with Domenico.
Come on.
Well, as you can imagine, Christina, the white trash whore, and her white trash mom whore are very excited about this challenge.
We're the best suckers here!
Jagerbomb, Jagerbomb, Jagerbomb.
What a show.
Well, Kim, however, and her family, not so happy about the challenge. Kim is the girl from Las Vegas, who is a little hoary in her own right, but even this is going a little far for her.
Imagine sucking and blowing in front of your mom and your dad. Not fun.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
That's not good for nobody.
Right.
Well, surprise, 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 Christina and her mother win the sucking cream contest. And they get to go to a special disco party with Domenico. And while they're there, Christina's mom starts hitting on Ashley, who's acting as bartender at this event, and starts to make out with him.
Dude!
While she's all loaded on Jaeger bombs. And she makes it pretty obvious what she wants from Ashley.
So we swing it back to the RV or what?
If the trailers are rocking, don't come a knocking.
I won't come a knocking.
Oh, dear Lord.
Has that been said on television since 1978, LaQuisha?
No, I think Starsky or Hutch was the last time that was said. Well, here's the thing. They invite the other girls and their families to the disco party after Domenico has some time with Christina's family. That was a bad idea because, as I told you, Christina and Taylor don't get along. And now Christina's drunk, white trash whore mom gets in on the action and starts to pick a fight with Taylor, a girl about half her age.
I can't listen to it anymore, so you know what? I snapped.
Do not touch me. Do you understand?
Get the f*** out of my face!
Okay.
Is this real? You guys are crazy.
Do not touch
me. Get the f*** out of here, Taylor.
Why would you talk to me?
Stop. Respect each other, please. Respect each other. This is my place.
Dude.
No mom should be acting that way.
See, that's what's been missing from these shows is having the contestant's mom come in and start beating up your competitors.
So they drag the mom out of the disco room because she's causing too many problems. That just leaves drunk Christina behind with her other victim, her favorite enemy, Kathleen the Virgin. And while Kathleen is sitting there with her parents on a couch, Christine tries to get her shot in.
Your daughter is the only one in the house that showed her vagina.
She's good luck with her. Strangling her.
Strangling. I'm right here. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, there's a big fight between the virgin and the white trash whore on the dance floor.
This is turning into WWE, LaQuisha.
Security has to come in and pull them apart and throw Christina out of the room. Well, at this point, Christina and her drunken white trash mom are asked by Domenico to please leave the show and leave the premises. And incredibly, Christina can't imagine why he's asking her to leave.
It's so
come, come with me. Open the car.
I really like them.
I know you do.
I really, Bobby is a cool person. I love him. It's just so weird. Why is he sending me away? That's not fair.
I need a drink.
Mom needs a drink.
I think we all do after hearing that.
And Christina says it's not fair. Why is he asking me to go?
Well, she behaved like a perfect lady, LaQuisha. That's why she's confused.
Oh, goodness gracious me. Well, luckily, they didn't need to evict anybody on this show because they kicked one out for Jaeger Bomb, Jaeger Bomb, Jaeger Bomb.
This, I can see why it's your favorite show. It has everything you look for in television, LaQuisha. It's just perfect.
I love white people making fools of themselves on television.
I've never been so embarrassed to be one of them.
I'm
going to
watch this show with Reverend Wright next week.
I bet you are. What's your complaint, Ralph? We got phone calls today. What's the deal here?
I don't know. It's not a complaint. I just think it's something that should be mentioned because we've been pretty rough on Sarah Jessica Parker today because it is her birthday. We've been mentioning her and talking about the fact that we don't really believe she's all that sexy. And I got an email here from Ricardo Marquez, and I think he's got a point. Ralph, I know you guys have been saying how unsexy and untalented Sarah Jessica Parker is, but you have to admit, I really liked her in her pre-Sex and the City days when she was the lead singer for Twisted Sister. Man, she was awesome in that band, Ricardo Marquez. And that's true.
Yeah.
When she was singing, we're not going to take it. No, we ain't going to take it. She was really very, very entertaining. So I stand corrected. She was good.
Well, she was doing a much better job with her makeup back then.
That's true. Yes.
I got to agree. Yeah. All right. 9:49, time for your calls. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a pair of tickets to the Off-Road Expo at the Fairplex in Pomona coming up on April 4th through the 6th, along with a new live Muse CD/DVD called Harp. That's Harp with two A's. I don't get it, but you'll get it, and you'll get a chance to see the screening of it April 1st at the Vista Theater. All of that just for being on the air with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And why don't we start with a great question from Evelyn in Glendale. Glendale.
Oh, sorry.
Glendale! She's on line 6. Hi, Evelyn. What'd it do?
Hey, I have a question.
Yes, Evelyn.
So, I've been best friends with this guy for like 2 years, and we're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden last night, he tries to come on to me, and he wants to hook up.
Right.
And I don't understand what's up with that. I mean, we've been friends for 2 years. Why all of a sudden now?
How do you not understand that? Are you... Do you have a vagina?
Yes.
Well, there you go. It's your answer.
That's your answer.
Friends, and we've always been cool. And it's
listen, Evelyn,
like
Evelyn, Evelyn, guys are never friends with women.
Unless they're gay.
Unless they're gay, exactly. Thank you, Gianna. If he's been your friend for the past two years, he has wanted to put it in you.
No.
He's just suppressed it, and he has not said as much or acted upon it around you, but he's always had that feeling. Because if a guy likes a girl enough to hang out with her a lot, that means he also would like to have sex with her. They go hand in hand.
Oh, but I know, like, you know, girls he's dated. Mm-hmm. He knows about
doesn't
guys
matter.
I've dated.
Doesn't matter.
None of that matters. Look, the only reason you guys are just friends is because you haven't had sex with him yet, but he would.
Right, in a heartbeat.
And what makes it even worse is then he got really mad last night, and he was like, well, forget it then, and walked
well,
out.
You shouldn't be such a bitch then.
You should
give him some.
You should give it up, and then you won't have those kind of problems.
No.
Stingy bitch.
Tease.
You
lead him on for 2 years with friendship, and then you shut him down. Some friend
exactly.
You are.
Yeah, no kidding. Friends like
you ever heard a friend in need is a friend indeed? Well, he was in need last night, and you were not indeed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know there's a storm out there. Your ship can't come into my harbor.
That's
right. Way to go, Evelyn.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Betsy in Burbank. A lot of chicks calling in on What It Do today. So it's What It Do Niece, I guess, on the Kevin DeBeacher. Hey, Betsy, what's going on?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, nephew?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi. I'm on vacation, but hi.
I don't know. Well, I met Ron Jeremy last night at the Rainbow Room. Me and my friend decided to go ask him for a picture.
Mm-hmm.
When we did, he said, sure, he was very polite. Then all of a sudden, just decides to put his hand into our bras.
Yeah.
Like, without even asking for one.
While you're getting the picture taken.
There you go.
See, well, Evelyn would have slapped him down, I'll tell you
right.
That.
Yeah. Well, you know, he is Ron Jeremy. He is a porn legend. I mean, you have to expect a certain amount of randy kind of behavior.
Kind of disgusting. I wasn't really feeling it. My friend was totally into it, though, and, like, ended up, like, I think, making out with him, getting his number. Pretty
sweet.
Gross,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
The hedgehog still pulling the digits. God bless him.
How about that? That's a great story, Betsy. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try David in Whittier. He's on line 7. David, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do, nephew?
Hey, Bean. How about all?
What's up, David?
What's going on?
What do you want to say, David?
No, well, I just want to let you guys know.
Are you at work? Or are you whispering for a reason, or what's the deal here?
Are you a secret agent?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I see it being UCLA and North Carolina with UCLA winning it all.
Really? Going all the way, huh?
Yeah, going all the way. That's how I see it, and just that.
Look, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, but there's been a huge amount of upsets in this particular March Madness.
Yeah, I know. So it should be pretty good. Hopefully, they go all the way, and I'm rooting for them.
All right. Well, I can tell by the excitement in your voice that you're
right.
Okay.
Hey, the dude on ESPN this morning, what's his name, Chris? Is it Chris Hubert or whatever his name is? Hubert something? former basketball player. He's the analyst for ESPN. He says no way UCLA wins Thursday night. He says no way they get past Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky playing out of their mind. UCLA just playing good enough to get by. He says that's where it ends for the Bruins. We'll see who's right, I guess.
All right, David, thanks.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. I want to thank our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Chris Chaik. He is the Guinness Book of World Records Gamers Edition 2008 All-Time Guitar Hero 3 Champion. He had a score, if you missed the interview earlier, he had a score of almost 900,000 points.
Wow.
On the Dragon Force song, which is unbelievable. Also, thanks to Rob Tannenbaum for joining us. He is the music editor of Blender. Pick up their April issue on stands now. Thanks to Panic at the Disco for stopping by, too. Pretty Odd is the name of the new album that is available for download and in stores everywhere starting today. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Got a huge one, Ralph. Floyd Mayweather on the program tomorrow.
Best pound-for-pound fighter in the sport right now. Of course, he's leaving the sport, going over to WWE to face a guy who's like 27 feet tall, I think, and weighs a metric ton.
It's going to be fascinating to hear that story. The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, on the program tomorrow. Always funny. Kate Bosworth will be here tomorrow, too. And so much more. Unfortunately, we are dead out of time. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock coming up next with our friend Kat Corbett right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.